Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Friday, even though it feels like Wednesday to me. Well, that's because, well, now I'm still not fully back to speed, but I'm getting considerably better. I got better, right. It's Friday on the front porch on the horn. Our last chance to cuss and discuss and carry on until Monday. And we'll just do this real quick and get it out of the way. Yeah, Monday's a holiday, but where am I going? So I figure where I'm going is right back here into the studio and crank up the microphone and have some live radio when most of the world will be taking time off. Is that okay by you? So as long as the interweb tubes, you know, it's not a big truck. As long as the interweb tubes cooperate, and I have no reason to think that they won't, we will be live on Monday, Memorial Day Monday. So that part's taken care of. Because I want to get as much show in as humanly possible before June gets here and everything goes sideways. Because as noted, and again, this is a reminder, as noted, I will be gone a whole bunch during June. Now, I will try to faithfully tweet and Facebook when we've got live programming, but I will be on the road quite a bit. The 7th and 8th. And maybe the 9th of June, 10th of June, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, that's out. And then the following week, we turn around and go to Netroots Nation. So that week's toast. And we get back along about the 20th of June. And that should leave us from the 21st to, oh, say, the 27th. For live programming, and then now there will be programming during the day from the 29th of June to the 14th of June. There will be live programming and maybe a few regular shows interspersed, you know, like on a Friday here and there, or some such. But there will be live programming, but it will be during the day, and there will be like 8 hours of live programming every day on the horn. And on the Horn's Ustream channel, as we bring you something that I consider to be eminently important, and that is Dr. Bill O'Brien's Prism West Virginia American History Series. This is the good stuff. I cannot emphasize enough the value that this will have. I mean, the camera, the video will be high quality, the audio will be high quality. There will be no need to send me emails saying your equipment sucks, because it won't suck. It doesn't suck right now, as a matter of fact, because, well, the bandwidth and the servers are cooperating. That involved several long conversations last night, but it looks like the issue is sorted. Cross thy fingers. But during those 3 weeks, beginning June the 29th, 29th, 30th, and 1st, and then 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and then 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th of July, it is going to be full-on, wall-to-wall, total immersion American history. And I hope, I sincerely hope, that you will join in. Among other things, I hope that we get, this part is not a guarantee, but I hope that we get a chance to test some really, really spiffy interactivity functions. Now, many of you by now have webcams, and many of you have laptops with webcams built into them. That means a whole bunch of you have Skype. Well, I'm not going to give everything away, but if everything works out as planned, then it may be possible to have Skype calls in for question and answer sessions. That will certainly be the case after the Academy is over and we go back to having the twice monthly American History chat series that Dr. Bill and Keith Lilly, Professor Keith Lilly, have begun in conjunction with this whole Teaching American History series. There's a lot at work here. There is an absolute reinvention of the idea of distance learning. American history, and I'll go so far as to dare speak for him. I had lunch with him today, as a matter of fact. American history is something that is absolutely a core passion for Dr. Bill O'Brien. But equally a core passion for him is the question of how we convey that information to our young. How we teach it. How we make the, you know, because untaught history is meaningless. So the question of how we teach history and how well we teach history to the next generation coming up and the next generation and the next generation, that really does define how well society will remember its past. And it is of critical importance. Why? Well, I'm trying to call up a story right now. There it is. Yeah. The dateline on this story was 2 days ago, May the 25th. And it is a disturbing story. But it really is the very answer to why it's important to really understand history and not just make it up as we go along. Because there are other groups that are making it up as they go along. The tea crackers, the tea baggers, whatever you care to call them. Dateline, Malta, Idaho. As soon as this confounded the pop-up ad goes away, I love you, Rachel, but goodbye. Dateline, Malta, Idaho. America's kid... Wait a minute. It's news anchor voice time. America's kids will be learning about the U.S. Constitution this coming school year, with help from a decidedly conservative Idaho publishing house, if a Tea Party group gets its way. The Tea Party Patriots, Georgia-based, but claiming 1,000 chapters nationally. 1 billion chapters. 1,000 chapters nationally are instructing members to remind teachers that a 2004 federal law requires public schools to teach Constitution lessons the week of September 17th. Commemorating the day the document was signed, and they'd like the teachers to use material from the Malta, Idaho-based National Center for Constitutional Studies, which promotes the Constitution as a, oh hell, divinely inspired document. Well, maybe they'll put it on display down at the Ark Park. Maybe Noah brought a copy of the Constitution with him, you know, next to the giraffes and the tsetse flies and the fleas. And the Ebola virus. Had to have two of those too, I guess. These names. The center's founder is W. Tell me that W doesn't stand for Willard or Walthausen or something. Woden. The center's founder, W. Cleon Skousen. Damn it, I don't think I washed real good. My Skousen's itching. I think my Skousen's firing up again. And it's right where I can't reach it. W. Cleon Skousen. How many is in a Skousen? W. Cleon Skousen You know, I was in love with her, but we had to get a divorce because I caught her. She's out there scousing. Romping and a scousing. The center's founder. Stop it, Bob. Next thing you know, you'll call W. Cleon Scousin a slut or something. The center's founder, W. Cleon Scousin, once called Jamestown's original settlers communists, wrote End of Days Prophecy, oh, somebody's working his side of the street again, and suggested Russians stole Sputnik from the United States. In 1987, one of his books was criticized for suggesting... That's an awful lot of tequila to jug in, down in one swallow. Wait a minute. It's Friday on the front porch, like I said. Which promotes the Constitution... we did that part. No. In 1987, one of his books was criticized for suggesting American slave children... Oh, no. Tequila's looking pretty damn good. Swig a lemonade. We'll split the difference. Hang on. But I got to make sure I get it real good and swallowed, because I don't want to spit take the monitor. In 1987, one of W. Cleon Scousin's books was criticized for suggesting American slave children were freer than white non-slaves. W. Cleon Scousin. You know, I think I know why that thing won't run out there. Scousin plate next to the Knutton valve's done gone bad. Scousin is a former FBI employee and Salt Lake City police chief who died in 2006 in Utah. Wait a minute, how's he running a publishing house? Oh, he's the founder. Wait a minute. He's the founder of the National Center for Constitutional Studies. Wonder if they got him in one of those vacuum-sealed glass cases, or did they lop off his head and freeze it next to Walt Disney's? Don't know. He's just hanging around waiting for the rapture. You know, I hope when they rapture, the dead people don't come up naked, too. That'd be just be gross. Dangling stuff, falling all over people when they get sucked up into the air. You see what it's like to live inside my mind? Nightmares. It's nothing but nightmares. Quick, to the Scousin phone! No. No, Scousin's been dead since 2006, but he's been raised up, as the fundies like to say, in the evangelicals, by Glenn Beck. And so it is that Scousin's version of the Constitution, which is a serious and frightening version of that onion piece that we keep going back to as being all too real, you know, the Constitution that exists mainly in their imaginations. Yeah, well, it's a hustle. It's a hustle. And to the same extent that the followers of Ronald Cuthbert Egbert's campings, what was his first? I don't care. Camping. Brother Camping. The people who followed him and ponied up for bus overlays and billboards and, you know, I think it was a poor translation. If you look in the New Testament, it says, the stupid you have always with you. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, not the poor in mind. But no, those people are out there, and this is a hustle, of course. So what we'll do, what will happen is the National Center for Constitutional Studies. Dang, that just sounds like somewhere we need to go next time we're on the way through Idaho on the way to the White Aryan Resistance Summer Camp. stop off there in Malta, Idaho at the Center for Constitutional Studies and pick up a copy of The 5,000-Year Leap. You remember that, Marveline? That's that 1981 book of Brother Skousen's that says that the Bible was the inspiration for the Constitution. You'll have to pick up The 5,000-Year Leap on your own, however, because it's not part of the Constitution teaching packet. Now, if you spring $19.95, you can get yourself a copy of Skousen's More Perfect Union, and that's a DVD. Mm-hmm. It was created by Mormon-run BYU in 1989, and it depicts the 1787 Constitutional Convention, and there's a teacher's guide with it, and a poster, and a pocket-sized Constitution. My goodness gracious, a fella could have a pretty good time in Salt Lake City with something like that. So they're pushing a hustle, these teabaggers are, for their little teabagging, oatmeal dribbling followers to adopt a school. And when you adopt a school, that probably means you'll spring for 1995 for a More Perfect Union, maybe pick up a copy of The 5,000-Year Leap, and maybe you'll get a seminar speaker to come and talk to your little tax school and tell them about all about how Jeebus was right there in the hall when there's a draft in the Constitution. Doesn't that sound fun, Marveline? Bill Norton, the Tea Party Patriots leader in charge of the group's Adopt a School push, gives seminars for the National Center for Constitutional Studies. He says the BYU movie was endorsed 20 years ago by the Federal Commission on the Bicentennial and the U.S. Constitution, proving its educational merit. It has the stamp of approval of this federal entity. Now, I ain't saying that every school has to use it. It's just a suggestion. It's just a suggestion, and, you know, I think it'd be a good thing to use it. It'd be a good thing to have me come to the school and lecture the little tykes about our divinely inspired Constitution. But it's just a suggestion. You ain't got to do it. And, you know, I'd hate for anything to happen to your school. I mean, it'd be terrible. It'd be terrible if Constitution Week came and went and you didn't have nobody there to tell them about how Jeebus inspired the Constitution. You come to school the week after Constitution Week, and there it is in a smoking heap. I'd hate for that to happen, but it's just a suggestion that you use the right. It's just a suggestion. No, and you know what this is. This is the same kind of crap that outfit Wall Builders uses. You remember Wall Builders, don't you? They're the right-wing outfit that just invents quotes from framers and Abraham Lincoln and stuff. And this is that. Made-up renditions of the actual Constitution that jibe not with what the Constitution actually is, but with what they imagine it to be, and it would be if they could just get some... if they could just get some Bible verses into it. You know what the Constitution needs? Bible verses. And the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance needs in the Constitution, too. You know what we need? We need a Constitutional Convention. They put Bible verses and Pledge of Allegiance. And you know, it's modern era. It's 21st century. You could probably pass out constitutions with little doohickeys in them that when you open it up, it'd play Lee Greenwood a-singing God Bless the USA, the unofficial national anthem of America. Yeah, it's real. It's really happening. We don't have a hell of a lot of time. And by September the 17th, these little cockroaches of the teabagging movement will just be scurrying all over America trying to poison the minds of little children with their right-wing fascist ideology. But, you know, as that terribly trite song that little young evangelicals sing around the campfire goes, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And that spark will be struck between June the 29th and July the 14th, 2011, at the PRISM West Virginia American History Summer Academy. Because this is not going to be history with an ideology. This is going to be history with a focus on getting it factually correct, primary sources, documents, that kind of thing. There won't be any Jesus in the Constitution that's being studied those 3 weeks because, well, there's no Jesus in the Constitution that was ratified back in the late 18th century. Not that it's not about whether anybody likes or doesn't like Jebus. Jebus just isn't referenced. Neither's God. And the Pledge of Allegiance isn't there. Lee Greenwood isn't either. But there's a lot of nuance, and there's a lot of room for discussion and debate. And it is, I would say, the best way to be prepared when these frauds, these phonies, these perverted... It's the, you know, trying to get teabag and ideology into the school is ultimately, well, it's academic pedophilia is what it is, because it's brain rape. Because all these teabaggers have to do is get this crap, you know. The children of slaves were freer than the children of white non-slaves. See? Slavery is good, boys and girls. This is not a racist society. Dr. King was just a malcontent. Yeah. That's, what else is that? What else is that except intellectual pedophilia? Brain rape. To sit there and lie to a child and know that you are lying to a child. I don't know, bring in Michelle Bachman and let them tell them about when the shot was fired that was heard around the world at Concord, New Hampshire, or what happened after the Germans got done bombing Pearl Harbor with their U-2 boats. Why the hell not? It's all subject to debate, right? Nothing's carved in stone. Unless they say it is. Right? Yeah, it's not made up history. It's untaught history. That's how they get around it. Michelle Bachman and Glenn Beck, and you know, he looks at his Becker heads and says, "This is history, my friends." But it's not the history that they teach in those liberal institutions of higher learning. You have to listen to me and my friend, Brother Skousen. Oh yeah, Glenn Beck pimped him hard. Those liberals don't want you to know that every single one of the signers of the Constitution had a deep and abiding personal evangelical relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though they didn't. Because there are far too many of us who don't know enough detail to refute that hateful garbage. Jim writing in, 8 hours continuously broadcasted? Bob, you mean 8 hours straight? It's a lot to maintain attention spans. Ever consider breaking program into segments? The research indicates that time segments need to be carefully handled for maximum impact and retention. Well, the thing is, this seminar is not designed for broadcast. We are broadcasting it in an effort to reinvent the idea of distance learning in a state that is geographically challenged, to say the very least. Of course, it will be live, but every every session will also be recorded and will be available on Ustream, on the Horns Ustream channel. And there will be a wide variety of speakers and experts in a wide variety of fields as touching upon all of these things. Ron and Raleigh. Sweet Jeebus, Bob. I'm too broke to afford any tequila. You gotta stop reading this kind of demented crap when I don't have any mood-altering substances. You know, I sympathize. I sympathize, Ron. My bottle of tequila is entirely imaginary. Would that it were not so. So, as it is, you know, I'll get done with the show, and as Jim Stafford once noted, I'll huff some burlap. Yeah, you don't want to be in my brain. But really, 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 Ron, no, no Jeebus, no Lee Greenwood, documents, source material, discussion. What the hell kind of commie simp outfit's putting on this so-called history channel? If you were listening last year, because David in Tennessee is asking a question, does Dr. Bill get any teabag or pushback regarding the real history? You know, one calling out from the back, that's not true, that's not what Glenn Beck says happened. Not really, but I remember one session last year when I made the profound mistake of noting that creation in the Bible is a creation myth. You know, just like the elephant standing on the back of the turtle, standing on the back of the turtle, standing on, you know, turtles all the way down. And it was immediately shot back at, it is not! It is the revealed word of God! But there's really not a lot of intellectual space in there for that kind of stuff to go on, because when you're being lectured, taught by a person who has dedicated his or her life to getting this stuff right, it's not the same as being told about history by a retired FBI Salt Lake City police chief who decided that rewriting America's history in the name of Jeebus or Morani or whatever was his calling in life. You'll notice once again that this has the imprimatur of Mormonism all over it, this scousing business. And why shouldn't it? After all, doesn't every school child need to know that when they shuffle off this mortal coil, if they're a revered elder, they're going to get their own private planet somewhere in an orbit near planet Kolob? Don't they need to know that? Saves the trouble of having to baptize them once they're dead now, doesn't it? Scousing. Sounds like something that happens to you when you don't bathe enough. Could it be I'm mispronouncing it? Might it be scoozin'? Well, see, because that wouldn't be any help. That's no good either, scoozin'. Now, it's about half past the hour. We're 30 minutes into the program now, and I will tell you that, A, the stream is going out much more nicely than it was last night, and B, that I'm feeling some better, but not entirely. Some of this is all just a big sham. I'm going back to bed as soon as the show's over. Who am I kidding? Because I've still got concrete in my brains. I'm sure some right-wingers would love to write in and say, Bob, you've always got concrete in your brains. That's why you're a blockhead, Bob. No, but I am feeling better, and thank you for all your inquiries. I appreciate it. But that's just a starting place for this evening. There's all kinds of scary stuff out there. There's an outfit called the Texas Freedom Network. And I've got an article here because apparently the Texas Freedom Network actually, it says, a mainstream voice to counter the religious right. Yay! We need those in Texas! Especially what with Rick Goodhair Perry saying, you know, I'm thinking a little bit about running for that there president job. Well, we had a feller from here a couple of years ago who was president, and he'd been governor of Texas and didn't seem to have too much of a hard time. No, there's more education news, and I guess we're just off to an education footing on this Friday on the front porch. We're off to an education footing because guess what? Reading straight from Ryan's post at TFN Insider, tfninsider.org, under the headline, time to get that imaginary tequila bottle back out, along with some imaginary limes and maybe some imaginary ether at this point, I don't know. Creationists appointed to science review panels. The Texas Education Agency just released the full list of members serving on the science and review panels that will evaluate instructional materials submitted for approval by the State Board of Education. As Texas Freedom Network predicted earlier this spring, the review panel for biology includes a number of individuals with a history of promoting intelligent design creationism or advocating the teaching of phony weaknesses of evolution in science classes. Oh, Jeebus, here we go again. Why don't all the fundies just move to Texas and declare it the Christian Republic of Texas, kind of, you know, because, yeah, isn't it roughly about the same size as Iran? And then they could have a war against each other, and all the normal people in the United States could be left out of it, and Taste Great could bomb Less Filling, and Less Filling send missiles over to Taste Great to figure out whose God was bigger and better. All the while, their respective populations would be ravaged by disease because neither version of fundamentalism wants to admit that anything evolves. Yeah, here's another one of those phony baloney outfits. International databases. Jesus. They promote intelligent design and creationism as real science. Remember, this is the science review panel. This is the panel charged with reviewing the quality of instruction in biology for, well, I don't know, you know, Texas 10th graders, who presumably someday are going to take the ACT or the SAT or the PSAT or the AFSAB, MADSAB, you know, all those standardized tests, and they're going to get to that part where it, you know, where does the frog come from? Where do humans come from, Jeebus? They're going to be wrong. Because while in Texas, there is a law in Texas that says if teacher asks you where humans come from and you answer Jeebus, she has to mark you correct. That does not apply to the ACT or the SAT. And when you come to the question that says, you know, what family do humans come from, and the choices are primates, the butterflies, slime molds, none of the above. And little Johnny marks none of the above and writes in, from the family of the living God. The ACT and the SAT people, now that's going to be wrong answer. Sorry, Princeton, New Jersey, wrong answer. This is frightening. It's like when Jude sent me that link a couple of weeks ago to the Reclaiming Seven Mountains website that showed how the Dominionists and these basically Christian Taliban people are assaulting education, the arts, entertainment, law, government, everything. Well, this is proof. Within that education sphere, there are little sub-spheres. It's all just one great big Venn diagram. And we know now that they're after American history, and that they're after, look, biology and chemistry and physics. Wouldn't you just love to see the physics test done by a fundy or analyzed by a fundy? Question. What is the rate at which a falling body falls? Physics, right? And there's a real answer. But little Johnny writes, all bodies do not necessarily fall. Some bodies, during the rapture, for instance, will rise into the air naked, unhindered by gravity's demonic sway. Oh, it's going to be a lovely day in the clouds, isn't it? Yes, it is. 25 before the hour, Friday on the front porch. Light them up. We got plenty of time to talk. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333, and away we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Hey, Sandra.
Hey, so what happened with the rest of your show yesterday? I had to go.
I dodged a lightning bolt. I think Jeebus was mad at me or something.
All right, so, well, it sounds pretty good today.
Yeah, it's working. We're not buffering up. The stream's going out. Not getting any emails about my equipment sucking. You know, that's cool.
Well, listen, I just need to just clarify this one thing. So, how is it that it's okay for Melodic to Obama's looking forward to the trial of someone who killed twice as many people as Bin Laden, if you look at the numbers, and it's okay... The trial is good, and that's how it should be.
You thought about that in those terms, too, huh?
I mean, is he, you know, is this society that stupid so quickly? I'm sorry. I'm listening to him going on about the value of trials, you know, for war criminals. I'm like, yeah, what were you doing a couple of weeks ago? And how come, is it because he's brown, he's not European? I mean, what am I to think here? I'm just trying to figure out the...
You know, I'm not trying to be a smartass, but I can't come to any other conclusions except for the fact that if you kill Americans,
right,
we get to kill you back.
Right. I mean, because it was painful.
But if you're just laying siege to Sarajevo or something like that,
and killing Muslims, don't forget.
And killing Muslims, right? Right. Then
I mean, that's another thing that I thought was kind of like, I mean, it just was a bad form all around. Not that the man was arrested and going on trial. That's fine. I mean, that's how it should be. And, you know, I don't care about his bad health. That was horrible what the man did. But listening to Obama, it's like I'm thinking, are we supposed to take him seriously? Or is it that they really do think Americans are just so stupid and don't pay attention? He can move from... one set of gibberish to the next. I'm just asking because...
No, I really think it's because Americans are that special.
I can't be the only one looking at him talking about welcoming, trying a war criminal right after having someone assassinated. I mean, I don't, you know.
You know, I thought, like I said, the same thing occurred to me this afternoon when I was listening to the radio. And the only thing I can, I mean, if I was making the excuses here, maybe I would say that this guy was a state actor acting under the cover of state authority, and therefore it's appropriate to try him. But Osama bin Laden was a non-state actor. That's the kind of BS you'll get out of the Justice Department on this issue.
Well, no, I'm sure that's what's going on, but, I mean... if you look at the disintegration of Yugoslavia, that's even debatable, actually. But I hear what you're saying. I know that's the song and dance they're running. But it was just something a bit nauseating about listening to him talk that way as he continues his own private war in Libya. But I did see that the House voted not to allow ground troops, but... If he thumbed his nose at them for the bombing, what's going to... Why shouldn't he...
Well, wait, did I miss something? Aren't we going to start using some attack choppers?
Well, what I'm saying is that...
I mean, those things are pretty easy to pluck out of the sky.
Well, not only that, but if the Congress isn't checking him on the initial start of the war, I'm sure he'll find a way around to introduce ground troops if he wants. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like being a little... little bit pregnant with Congress and the war power. It's just not working. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and see, that I mean, that's why I asked the helicopter question, because those things are easily shot down.
I didn't know they were, you know, I have no idea. All
and once, but once you've got Black Hawk down, you got to send folks in, right?
Yeah, and what I can tell, every day, have you noticed it's been escalating? I mean, they've been bombing the shit out of Tripoli in the last few days. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm just like, hello, what's happening?
And is it cognitive dissonance? I mean, they've got to know that these lines are going to be drawn. And that's why I go on about this. When I talk about not saying what was done to bin Laden was justice, I'm not saying necessarily it was bad to go off him if that was the circumstance that existed. But by the same token, we have, and the world has, processes by which we ascertain the truth, the factuality, not even the truth, but the factuality of what happened in a given place. For instance, this Mladic guy says, I didn't do it. I wasn't there, and even if I did, I was only following orders. Right? So he's going to mount an affirmative defense. But we didn't want to hear any defense that bin Laden might have mounted.
But it's just kind of, I just think it's the infantization of our whole process, I guess. I mean, you know, anyway, it's horrific.
Well, we got struck by lightning last night just when you and I started addressing the issue of, indicting John Edwards.
Well, yeah, no, and see, it's stunning. I'm not understanding, you know, the selective prosecution now just really stinks. It stinks to the high heaven because it isn't framed as a country of laws if it's selectively taking out your adversary or the weakest link or whatever the hell the Obama administration is doing.
Well, as loony as the guy is, did you catch that business about somebody asking our pal Herm Cain about assassinating al-Awlaki?
Did he say that it was really not up to snuff? Or
he said, I don't think an American president has any business ordering the assassination of any American citizen.
Yeah, no, I thought that was the case, which is, he'll be thrown into the bucket with old Rand Paul, although I guess he rolled over as per usual.
Yeah, he made his noises and then went, you know, that they just, you know, took him off and said, son, you're new here.
And then he made his noise over, I guess his biggest concern was the gun. It's funny how the NRA sent a letter saying, oh, they're not really bothered, so everyone rushed forward to vote for it. You see what I'm saying?
There's not a lot of, between the NRA and, say, that Netanyahu speech the other day in Congress, in either instance, that's why I was screaming last night, you know, clap, you bastards, clap louder. I didn't get a harumph.
Well, no.
You know, the NRA and AIPAC, they get a lot. I mean, you don't get a harumph. You're in trouble with both of them.
Well, no, but if that wasn't some sort of Stalinist-like setup with the U.S. Congress, you know, clapping and living in fear, if they didn't clap, it was really, it's really disgusting. That spectacle was just disturbing, okay? I mean, the man is Netanyahu is completely bankrupt. A horrible leader who has big issues with his own constituency, but you'd never know it looking at the sitting up, standing up, clap, 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 like that, what's that Twitter guy? Black Conseco?
Oh, yeah.
Clap, clap, clappity, clap.
Clap, clap, clappity, clap.
You know, I mean, that's what that was. But anyway, the whole relationship is so perverse. I don't know. I'm just kind of, you know, tripping. But another thing that I'm tripping on is the WTO. They just losing their minds. Have you been? I don't know if you've been following what's coming down. But all of a sudden, you know, the dolphin tuna thing. You can't, you can't label your tuna dolphin free anymore because it's a subtle I'll repeat it, subtle barrier to trade.
No, stop, really.
I'm serious, and this thing, I don't mean to laugh.
Well, I mean, the whole dolphin safe thing on the side of the Starkist can, I always understood that that was a con anyway, Sandra, because that's albacore tuna, and they don't swim with the dolphins.
Okay, but the thing is, con or not, the implication of this is horrific, because with the whole free trade bullshit, everything is reduced to the lowest denominator. It's like, oh no, if you just, they call them subtle barriers, like food safety, environmental.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say. So the next time I suggest that maybe you don't want to buy your dog food at Walmart because old Roy might poison old Blue, that I'm engaging in a subtle barrier to trade.
Right. I'm saying that's what they describe it. If you read trade blogs, you know, they have all the lingo. If you look at it closely, it really is saying that we cannot have anything that is going to interfere with any possible trade with any member. So disgusting food from Mexico or disgusting food from Canada cannot be labeled and must have free reign throughout the agreement area. The next thing that went last week was the labeling for beef.
Oh, no.
The labeling we have for beef, welcome to beef from every place in the world in one hamburger, and you don't ever get to know about it ever again.
Well, see, and that's the thing. I saw this one evening when I was ashamed of myself in Wally World, but yeah, I won't buy meat there. I just won't. But I just happened to look down at the hamburger, and it said, may contain hamburger from Australia, Argentina, Chile, Canada, Mexico, United States. We're not really sure.
Okay, well, welcome to hamburger, okay?
Because it costs money. That ink for those extra words costs money, and that might be a subtle barrier to trade.
And welcome to some organization, some international organization, the agreements they just came out with are confidential, but they leaked out. You understand? They're confidential. How's that?
That's another word for secret, right?
Oh, it's just hideous. I mean, the whole thing is just, it is stunning.
It's like a trade star chamber.
Oh, it is. No, that's what it is. It's a straight up star chamber where we, the consumer, citizen, worker, just trying to survive, aren't welcomed. And these decisions are being made fast and furious, are just horrific. We already have issues with food safety in this country. Now we got to be dictated by this organization on high with no recourse.
I'm just curious because, you know, so many of these corporations are transnational and they owe no allegiances. Who's driving this bus?
What do you mean?
I mean, is it China's trade team or is it transnational corporations? I mean, somebody has to be coming up with these ideas, right?
Yeah, no. This one case, the tuna case, was brought to the whatever tribunal star chamber in 2008. So, you know, it's taken a while, but it isn't a transparent process, and your sovereign nations, you know, the sovereignty is out the window. That's the thing that's really disturbing. It's like, oh, wait a minute. What's even worse are these three agreements that Obama is trying to push down our throats further, the Korean, the Colombian, and there's one more. Some of those, like the Korean, some of those companies have a presence. So if you have a presence in the U.S., then whatever you're selling here can be subjected to these tribunals. So if you have a bad food system coming from whatever country and they happen to have a presence here, then they can claim that it's a barrier to their products, selling it back to us.
So effectively what they've done is neuter any effort whatsoever to ever try to neutralize the business playing field between, say, developing nations and developed nations in terms of keeping jobs from just being sucked overseas.
Well, and not only that, but if you want to have uniform safety, it's the race to the bottom. That's what's being ruled favorably. If Mexico can't come up with trying to catch their tunas without destroying dolphins, oh, well, that's a problem. You know, that's an inhibitor to them, so we must not allow any of the partners in the agreement.
Right, and if the dolphins don't like it, they'd better learn to talk.
I'm just saying, that's how it works.
And buy some shares and stuff.
Yeah, so we're being sold a bill of goods, being told that this free, we're going to try to institute different regulations to make it, less job loss and safer products and still keep it cheap, but that's a lie. As these decisions are showing, we're going to be exposed to God knows what and won't be told about it.
No, you won't find out about it till you're at the emergency room, right?
And we're back to that whole Randian libertarian bullshit where, well, if the product kills you, then, maybe it'll be stop being made, maybe not. Who knows? Good luck to you. Anyway, I'm sorry.
No, that makes me nuts.
No, I was just, because unfortunately for me, I subscribe to this one woman who writes just on trade exclusively, and she writes on the side of the WTO, so it's always interesting to look at the lingo.
Oh, so she's pro all of this, or?
Well, I don't know if it's pro, or, it's just supposedly just writing about it. I'm assuming, the language is such that it's not saying it's good or bad. It's just stating what has come down.
Yeah, fact reporting.
Right.
Something that we're wholly unused to at this point.
But, so the other, the extras is my interpretation of it.
Well, but I don't think you've been engaging in a lot of interpretation.
Well,
because it sounds like everything in here, everything we're discussing is a sort of strict liability event. If you prove it happened, then you win?
Well, see, no, my interpretation is as a scared consumer citizen. You see, I see that if you're a company, you're like, great, I don't have to worry about labeling shit, and I can sell into the U.S. market, bully for me. But if I'm a customer, I value knowing, hey, what's in this case?
Well, let me ask you then, isn't that a sort of a backdoor way of neutering the Food and Drug Administration?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It has the potential to do all that. That's what I mean.
Well, and that's why I was asking, who's behind this? Because, Sandra, we all know. I mean, Paul Brown, that half-sozzled freak from Georgia, was talking about the debt ceiling the other day. And said, by God, we're not going to raise the debt ceiling unless we eliminate the Department of Energy and the FDA.
Yeah, well, see, those people, though, they talk all in all, but at the end of the day, I don't think they know what the hell they're talking about, because they'll turn around the next minute and talk about our sovereignty is under attack because of the UN.
Right, but because
the difference between the UN and the WTO, though, they're both, international organizations.
Well, speaking of international organizations, it's my understanding that at the G8 conference now, Russia got its arm twisted. And
shut the hell up! I saw that. I was like, I said, oh shit, where's Putin? Shit, he must have been talking to him anyway.
Yeah, because now they've decided that. You guys were right. Gaddafi's got to go. What kind of deal was made to get that out of them?
I have no idea. I saw that on the front page of some paper, and I thought, that's interesting. And
because they don't just turn around for nothing.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I mean, but you knew Gaddafi. You knew he was in trouble when he was making noises about the dollar, not using the dollar anymore, and creating the one single currency for Africa. You knew that he was on his way out when he opened his mouth on that ticket, and that was a while ago.
Yeah, well, Saddam made the same noises, you may recall.
Exactly. And the people in Iran are sort of chirping that, too, so I'm like, hey, you might want to pipe down.
Yeah, dead men start no bourse.
I'm a dinner jacket and in big trouble over there anyway. So, I don't know what's going on. I wouldn't talk about not using the dollar up in this mug. Not with this crazy...
No, because ultimately what we're talking about here, I think, Sandra, across the board with all of this, is that trade, so-called, which, you know, business, has been elevated to the status of a world religion.
Well, it is, but it's also being used as a weapon, and it's going to be, it's being turned against us because the U.S. is steadily losing. This is like the fourth case they've lost. They've given in to the European case, too, where, you know, Europe is like, no, we don't want your GMO-infested beef or, you know, hormone-infested beef or whatever they were trading. And the U.S. relented on that. And now they're going to just trade hormone-free beef to Europe. And so,
no, wait. So American beef producers are going to produce hormone-free beef, but you and me, we can't have that? That goes to Europe?
One, yes. You know what time it is. That's right. I think you're getting it now.
Shit.
So, yeah, that's... Yeah, you don't even want to know the trade regime.
My kids go to school and they have the breakfast sausage pizza with the downer pig in it, and the downer cattle beef stew. But somewhere out there in the American Beef Council or whatever, they've got the nice cattle go to Europe.
Well,
I'm kind of beat.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, that's the sort of mentality. I mean, you know, that's like, I don't know. I mean, that's the sort of stuff you know, third world type countries are doing.
Because I'm guessing, not to run too far afield, I'm guessing the bottom's all gone out of the Kobe Wagyu beef market in Japan, right?
I would think anything that goes anywhere near the mouth is problematic from Japan at this point.
But American business being American business, all of a sudden, a few prime Holsteins have been hauled off the contained animal feedlot and taken over to some place where a dude's giving them Milwaukee's best and all the corn they can eat, and you know, rubbing them down. Yeah, we're gonna call this American hillbilly Kobe.
Yeah, I know it's too much. So, you know, the phrase for today is subtle trade barriers. Okay, I have to put that on my wall because it's like, yeah, I gotcha.
Subtle barrier to trade. It sounds like, it sounds like something W.C. Fields would say.
Well,
but my God, you know, imagine that. The Copeland music, the rodeo, you know, and hormone free. It's what's for Europe.
Right. No. It's too much. Okay. And the next little story that I must share with you is the federal judge that said now corporations.
Yeah, give them all. Yeah, just give them all you got.
Can give directly. Pass, go, collect whatever directly to the candidates. So we literally are going back to the day when it was Senator from Standard Oil. All right? Straight up.
Yeah, the Senator from GM who killed what was the name of that car? The Tucker. The Tucker.
Well,
that the Senator from General Motors killed.
Well, I guess this is because don't the teabaggers want to repeal the 17th Amendment anyway? Maybe this is how they're going to do it.
Oh, Jesus.
You know.
But, you know, you got to admit this is somewhere in some little basement office with a naked hanging light bulb and two army surplus chairs and a table from the Korean conflict. Those dudes from the Yes Men are going, God, are we going to have fun with this?
Well, no, but so this is in Georgia, this case, and they said, oh, this case is likely to end before the Supreme Court. Now, years ago when I heard that, I thought, oh, maybe it might get a... But now I hear that, I'm like, oh, well, shit.
Yeah, that means it's going to get a pass. What I love, though, Sandra, are the facts behind this case. Because it's... And I'm surprised that... Well, no, it will be. You know, the OxyContin, America's junkie detector or whatever he is, will be all over this because the case itself was not a case. It wasn't a civil case. It was a criminal case. And it was a criminal case against a guy who allegedly violated federal campaign finance laws by reimbursing people who donated money to, drumroll please, Hillary Clinton's campaign. So, so you've got the Clinton bonus there, where the teabaggers can hoot and scratch themselves and stuff, because that was Hitlery. That's a case about Hitlery. And I don't know. The for all I know, Jane Glenn Hampshirewald will get all get all wrought about it too. Those demon Clintons, and I got my gripes about them and everything, but I don't just lose all sense of reason and proportion. You know what I mean? But this criminal case, the judge threw out the indictment because he said he cited Citizens United specifically.
Right, and he also says, if they have the same First Amendment rights as individuals, then corporations have the same rights, So what's with the organization? Screw that. Just give directly.
So does this mean that I could put on, some massy minor stripe work clothes and just walk up and start stuffing money in Nick Rahal or Jay Rockefeller's pockets and make it real obvious for a change?
It's like you can wear that Just Do It logo while you're making legislations or whatever corporation gave you the money. I mean, seriously. It's just shocking and...
And you're right. There is not a snowball's chance in hell that Alito and Slappy and the dead-eyed John Roberts and... the Fat Tony and Whine and Kennedy, there's no way they're going to get hold of this and go, oh, no, absolutely, we affirm.
Oh, yeah, no, it's too much. And, anyway, I don't really have anything else to say about that except for, it's just stunning. On to this other one that's doing my head in. The IAEA has just stopped taking any sort of numbers or assessments or anything from Japan about the radioactive.
Well, what are you going to do when everything's off the scale? I mean, it's going to take some turnaround time to build new widgets.
So anyway, so it's still spewing untold amount of radiation. It seems to be getting worse and worse, but all the protective agencies that are in place are now not gathering information except for Greenpeace. Those stories are frightening. I don't know if you've seen some of the thing they're doing, and it's just like, hello? So I don't know. I don't know. I just think that whole island is just going to be poisoned, and those people are going to have to just, die? I don't know. I'm confused.
And just put up a fence around it, I guess. No, there's a link that I shared with Jim some several days ago. It came from Slate, and I think if you just Google it, it'll show up. Just Google Slate and Children of Chernobyl.
Oh, okay.
It is a photo essay, and I will tell you, Sandra, and I will tell everyone within reach of my voice, be sitting down when you see this thing. Be ready to have your night ruined. Because Paul Fusco, I think, is the photographer.
What is it? Just sort of appalling, hideous.
They are photographs shot at an orphanage, which is next to a mental institution in Belarus.
Yeah, no, I think I've seen some of that, and if it's what I think it is, yeah.
Horrible deformities. A child with his brain growing outside his skull.
Only 35 people died in that accident,
right,
remember?
Right. But the thing is, you watch this and you go, on the one hand, I could hear the apologists in the back of my mind, that's because they didn't even have a containment building. No, it's because they had a nuclear reactor that melted down.
I know, but see, what the hell? How in the world are we dealing with the level of complacency, which seems to be even worse? I mean, because I was around when that Chernobyl shit went down. That was frightening. But I've never, the way it's shut down, we have more access to information up the ass, yet they have effectively shut this shit down unless you know where to go and you're determined to find out.
Oh, yeah, you're not going to get it watching the TV box anymore.
And it's disgusting and so very disturbing to me because every time I look stuff up, it's like, oh, and the whole area is just soaking with water. The buildings may not stand. Oh, there's a new leak. They don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah, and where are you, all that debris and everything that got washed all over creation, where are you going to get rid of that?
I'm still tripping on the spent fuel rock that just sort of evaporated all over the show.
Yeah, went through, laid on the floor, burned up. Yeah.
Anyway, listen, I don't know. I don't, you know, I'm sorry. I don't really have anything.
No, that's okay. I will share a story with you before you go, just so we can have our moment of shallowness. You know, we're good at that.
I'll give you this other thing that I wanted to mention. I don't know, because you didn't talk about it, but I think it's very interesting, is that Egypt is opening the border permanently.
Yes, they did. Yeah, and that didn't play real well with Bibi.
No, that shit is, that's interesting to watch, because I guess beginning Saturday, it'll be open from 9 in the morning to 9 at night. Permanently.
And what's Israel going to do about that?
They don't know what to do.
But isn't that, you know, it's not a function of trying to needle Israel. There comes a point where any government has to look up and say, you know, to fail to do something is to participate in a humanitarian crisis.
Right.
Because there is a genocide going on in Gaza.
No, but so it's just going to be interesting because, I don't know. I have to say, I'm kind of happy for them, for people to get out, you know?
Yeah. And
I don't mean get out to leave for good. I mean get out, get some medical care, get some supplies in, maybe some cement. Ooh, maybe they'll get some cement.
Yeah, because, you know, that cement is a well-known tool of the terrorists.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, what's your...
I was just going to find out, you know, what are y'all ready for the NBA Finals? You got your heat-hating hat on?
Well, and the thing is, though, I'm sorry. You know, I'm not... Dallas don't inspire much confidence, so I'm trying to brace myself to see his hideous face everywhere. Maybe they'll lose, but what do you think?
Well, I rooting for anything from Texas does not come easily to me.
I know, but I can't do it. I can't stand that LeBron James. And the thing about it, though, he shut down that Rose person pretty damn decisively. So
that was no small feat.
I don't know who's gonna stop him. Sorry, I mean I don't. You know, I'm not a fan, but you know that. That looks pretty much like a done deal.
I hope it's not, you know, because the one thing I heard was that, well, you know, this conjures up memories of the great finals of the past when it was Magic versus Bird. I don't think...
No! Come on. You're making this shit up.
No, I didn't. David Stern is doing everything in his power to sell the daylights out. I think the happiest man on the planet's David Stern when the Heat won their spot.
Oh no. That's definitely happy times in the NBA. But you know what's going to be even more happier is when what's that big dude from Orlando, the Magic?
Oh.
When that fool flies to L.A. with who's the guard from New Orleans?
Yeah, but that's what you're seeing is this wholesale realignment. I watch the playoffs. It's like hockey. I can watch hockey playoffs. I can watch NBA playoffs. I can't watch the regular season.
Well, no, but this sort of, you know, these sort of cartels that they're creating.
That's exactly what they are.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm not a big fan of Michael Jordan, but you know, Michael Jordan wouldn't have never done that shit. He wants to play against them folks, not with them. You know?
Yeah, he wants to beat people.
You know, he wants to beat them, not join up. So that's the thing about this whole sort of reorganization of the NBA. It's, you know, Magic, none of them fools back in the day would be joining up. That wouldn't be going on. You know? I'm confident in saying that. I think that what's going on now in the NBA is weak and fits in with the rest of this weak-ass mentality in this country. Sorry. I don't mean to make it...
Yeah, well, the word I think you used early in the conversation was infantile.
Yeah, no, because it's not inspiring to me. So what? A bunch of best players in the world decide they want to play together. Bully for them.
But who are they going to, you know, okay, yeah, go beat up the winners from the European League. Go beat up the winners from the Chinese League. What?
Yeah, I mean, it's just not, you know, I don't know. I can't get that excited about it, you know. It's like, I enjoyed seeing, you know, Kobe playing against Boston. I have to say, I like that series. But I'm not interested in these design teams. Like, what do you have at the Knicks? You have Carmelo.
Right.
And Stoudemire and one other guy, I can't remember. You know, you have the three there, and I'm sure Dwight Howard is going to be trying to get to L.A., I bet.
Well, I mean, isn't that where everybody wants to go now? You know, Phil's gone, Kobe's there, but there's, you know, there's lots of spots to fill.
Yeah.
And so that's where the next cartel is going to develop.
Yeah, they hired that Mike Brown over there, though, which I don't really understand. They hired that fool, but I don't, you know,
Well, David in Tennessee getting in on this, he can't resist. He said, what'll stop the Heat? The only thing that'll derail the Heat, and he said, in my opinion, it will happen, is when D-Wade's shoulder injury is exploited, and he can't be there for LeBron. He can't practice as it is now, and every day his joint movement is a bit more limited. And David in Tennessee closes his email by saying, go Dirk.
Oh, no, listen, I want that German to get on, okay? Start marching, fool.
Get with it.
I mean, I'll be pulling for him. I mean, as much...
Well, and, you know, there's every possibility that Mark Cuban will make a complete ass of himself during this.
All right, that's hella entertaining, please. The only reason why, I mean, I'm not a huge...
No, I'll buy the ticket for Mark Cuban, you know?
No, the reason why I like Mark Cuban is because he gets up of that weirdo Stern's ass, and that's always enjoying, you know. Because I don't that David Stern, yeah, he got issues.
Yeah, anybody that that works that does a little puts in a little OT on David Stern's ulcer is fine by me.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's why I always sort of, you know, and I kind of thought if Mark Cuban had bought the Cubs, that would have been hella funny for baseball.
Oh, I think that would have been great.
They couldn't stomach it, you know.
No, but the other little piece of silly gossip that I have to share along the way, you know, we talked a little while back about Jesus's best friend Bill Stewart, who was the head coach here in Morgantown, but he's kind of been sort of shifted to the side because we brought in the new guy from Oklahoma State, the offensive coordinator out there, a guy named Dana Holgerson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know, the guy is supposedly an academic whiz. And probably is, and so next year he's going to do it. He's going to do everything except be the head coach. They'll, they'll let Bill Stewart wear his sweater vests and call timeout, but it's Holgerson's team. Well, dude, we got a couple of years back. We got table gaming in West Virginia. I know, Las Vegas, Atlantic City. Cross Lanes, West Virginia. It's how you think. So, but we got table games, so we've got a casino down in Cross Lanes next to the dog track.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
I know. And it's the Mardi Gras Casino. That's the part I love best. You know, come to West Virginia and have a Mardi Gras with the hillbillies. So he goes down to the Mardi Gras Casino and apparently gets stone cold wasted. Just totaled, and they're trying to run him out at like 3:30 in the morning. This is the guy who's going to be the head coach of the West Virginia Mountaineers.
Oh, no.
And he is wasted at 3:30 in the morning. The cops show up because he won't leave. Now, I don't know if he wouldn't leave because he was down and he was losing, or he wouldn't leave because he was up and he was winning. But he wouldn't leave, and so the cops had to, you know, he's the head coach and everything. They're going to be the head coach. So they just walk him quietly out, and he sits and behaves himself on a bench outside till the cops can get the taxi called for him.
Shut up. What?
And I'm thinking, you know what? If that's anybody but him, you're getting the stainless steel bracelets and no cab for you, buddy. We'll give you a ride in the car with the shiny light.
Wow.
And the university announced today that there will be no disciplinary action, or maybe it was yesterday, there will be no disciplinary action against Coach Holgerson for his conduct at the Mardi Gras Casino three nights ago.
Oh, so he's just skating?
Yeah. Yeah, the first one's free, I guess.
Well, no, but the original vest, Jim Tressel, how is that fool still there?
That just beats me to pieces, Sandra.
What?
I don't know. If that was anybody but my God, if that was Alabama, they'd be on probation until my great grandchildren matriculate.
Listen, I guess that vest has served his ass well because I was waiting. I'm waiting, and oh, nothing. Crickets.
Yeah, well, that's because he looks real nerdy.
Oh, well, listen, but he should be. I'm sorry, and that other freak. Where there's murder, mayhem, rape, and whatever else at Notre Dame, what's up with that fool?
Staying, Brian Kelly. Yeah, going nowhere.
It's just like, you got people dying. It's just a horrible year. And it's just kind of like, he continues on, right?
Right.
But I guess they really have to shore up the college football because they ain't going to have no other football, right?
I don't think, no. That's that whole draft thing that they went through, yeah, That was strictly for show.
Oh God, where'd that simpleton go from Auburn?
The Carolina.
Oh yes. Oh, that's an interesting and perfect fit.
But even though I just wanted to see this. I want to see this season happen because John Fox that coached at Carolina for so long.
Yeah.
He was known for being a little bit of a no BS kind of, tough guy.
Right.
And he's gone to Denver now.
Oh shit. Yeah, what is he going to do with
I want to see what happens when him and little Tim, when he starts using the fun words and little Timmy Jebo wants to pray and lay hands on him.
Oh shit. Well, yeah, see, now we just fantasizing because I'm sorry. It ain't looking like they making any headway.
No, ain't going to be no kickoff.
Well, so what do you think? They'll just keep going, or will they call the season? I don't see how they get. I mean, it's really.
Well, I mean, you know what the impulse is. The impulse will be the same thing as it always is. Let's hire some scabs and play some scab ball.
Listen, it's not funny, though, because the number of. Jobs and the economic impact.
Right, and that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the somebody who makes a half a year's wages hustling hot dogs and parking and cleaning toilets and the
service. That is the epitome of our service economy, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, it all dovetails so nicely with that little law that I was talking about up in Ohio, Sandra, the one where you can bring your gun to the game.
Oh, shit. When you was talking about that, I had, I flashed about Oakland. I'm like, can you imagine?
Oh, I didn't even know. See, that's an Ohio law, but, surely to God, California is sane enough not to.
Oh, no. Well, no. I mean, I think we have some of the, if not the strictest.
Because those Oakland fans can kill you with a shoestring.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They don't need no Tech 9.
No, it's like, a couple of little people in my family went to a game, with the whoever, father's uncle, and they had to be shielded from the flying projectile vomit and people fighting. And, it's just, these are 13-year-old boys. They don't need to be seeing that.
But but don't you walk away? Forget about it, kids. It's the Raiders.
Well, sort of. But I have to say, they were all a bit taken aback by the whole spectacle. It was that bad.
But it's not. But it's not just Oakland. I mean, it's fan behavior everywhere. I had that clip the night I was talking about it. That came from a half-empty Buffalo stadium, where all somebody had to do was just move. I don't know, move down to the owner's box because it was empty too. But instead, they want to stand there and brawl because they got 19 beers apiece in them.
Well,
but now we're going to add, the dog pound in Cleveland?
Well, there's also discussions.
With an AR-15 involved?
Well, there's also discussions of eliminating the selling of alcohol. I hear that's going around.
That just means they'll have to smuggle it in. Pretty soon, and the next step from that is. That we'll have the TSA scanners just trying to get into it, get in to watch you know, an 0-15, 0-16 the squad get a game on.
Well, I mean, I was so naive. I didn't even realize that most of these stadiums had jails in them. That's how simple I am.
Oh, full-on prisons.
What?
Biggest one. You know, Jerry Jones not only has the Taj Mahal Stadium, he has the biggest prison stadium. Well, their biggest prison in the stadium.
Oh, God. See, because I've never, you know, I didn't go to, I had a chance to go to the Raiders, but, I didn't go at the end. So I've never really been to a professional football game. So I didn't know they had jails.
I know. It's not something you think about, is it? It's not, you know, you don't think of, you know, Vince Lombardi, you know, the frozen tundra and the music and that guy's voice and it was down in cell block D on a frozen day and no.
Well, and I don't think of, once again, I must bring up Seneca. I guess I need to think of Seneca again, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, let me let you go.
Sandra, have a great weekend.
You too.
Later. Bye now. And a reminder, I will be on the air Monday night, Memorial Day, when everybody else is out partying. You know, oh, come on. I live in rural West Virginia. I can sit here and talk while the pork shoulder smokes, you know. David in Tennessee asking, oh, did Coach Muley read verses and lay on the redeeming hands once Coach Holgerson was back at the house? Just, you know, another day in West Virginia. And by the way, David in Tennessee letting us know, some NFL owners, some, 15-plus owners have directed their management to lay off and or cut the hours of off-season personnel, even though as of this minute, there's been no change of club income. It's a preemptive strike at added profits for billionaire owners. But no, neither Green Bay nor the Tennessee Titans have done that dirty deed. Bet you Dallas did. Come on. You just know it, right? 22 past the hour. A couple of lines open. Going to go back to the phones in a second. If you want to get in on the conversation on this Friday on the front porch, do please feel free. David, another David. We got lots of Davids. We got more Davids than anybody else's. But another David wrote in, David had, was the one who said in the critique last night of the equipment here. And he said, Bob, I was sending you a small donation via PayPal and didn't get to finish my message. I was trying to say thank you for your good work. I think your voice is very important, and I feel so much like you do. I really enjoy listening to you and your callers. I live on Social Security and only have a small amount of money, or I would send more. But I'll try to support you along the way and give what I can. Thank you for fixing the stream. I don't think I fixed it, though, David. I think somebody else fixed it. I just complained a lot. And he says, it's so nice to hear your whole conversation. I always look forward to the program. Sincerely, David. Thank you, David. I do appreciate it. Now, I'll mention this. With the week ended and me unable to be on the air for two nights, that was a real... It was a real kick in the shorts to the horn fundraising efforts. This evening we need right now 16 members, 16 members of the Thrifty 250, and 16 people at $10 a piece to sort of bring us up square going into the weekend, so we can keep on paying the bills that we have to pay. And took a real whack earlier today. Maybe we'll talk about it later. Let's keep it rolling. Jump into the conversation, 877-443-2366, 304-658-3333. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Gene?
Well, first of all, it is Skousen, so you said it right.
Oh, it's Skousen? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way.
And it does sound like, and so even pronouncing it correctly, it sounds like it itches, right?
Yeah, it does.
Probably get some cream down to the Walgreens to put on your Skousen.
If I knew at the time when I first heard that tape how wacky that guy was, but, you know, I mean, just thought he was a great Kryptonian, that's all. did you get the movie I sent you last night?
Yes.
Did you see it?
I have not yet.
Oh, you will, because when you were talking about when you were talking to Sandra about all the business stuff, it's like, Oh, that's where that comes from. It's like, wow. I mean, it's sort of what I've always expected. Of course, I've read it, but to actually see it on video, and I apologize.
It's on my weekend viewing list.
We are under the care of machines of loving grace or something like that. That's the title it is. I'll warn you right now, it talks about you will come face to face with Ayn Rand. My apologies, but you know, in the interest of good journalism.
Well, you know, I can just put a tennis ball in my mouth and duct tape around it. Yeah, so I won't be swearing where the kids can hear me.
It's done by the same guys that did the Power of Nightmares kind of deal.
Yeah.
And last little bit of thing that I'm trying to move on is because we live in the U.S. and we can't use the U.K. stream, it's a little bit choppy, but it is understandable, so I apologize about that, but, you know, that's what you get when you...
I understand completely.
Funny how they can give us beef from everywhere, including that once nice tasty Kobe beef, which now probably has somebody's arm growing out of it. But we won't talk about that. But we can't get, you know, when it's actual news, we can't stream from the UK server. Oh well, everything fails but what needs to. I don't know. Things are things. I guess on the good side, I didn't get a chance to be getting on that Alabama representative said, heck, because the golf went and bitched about teachers too much, I'm going to become a Dem.
Yeah, we had an Alabama Republican jump ship. Now, it wasn't congressional or senatorial, but a member of the Alabama State Legislature, a first-termer, recently elected from a little town called Sulligent, and the last nail in the coffin was, or the straw that broke the camel's back, or whatever analogy you prefer, was when they went after the teachers in a big way, and a 36-year-old representative by the name of Daniel Bowman, B-O-M-A-N, said, you know, I got no business in this party anymore, and he became a Democrat. And what it was a bill that makes it easier to fire teachers and put in arbitrary performance standards.
Yeah.
You know, so that things like teaching while black can become a real bar to further employment.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a sort of example.
Yeah. No. We'll get out of this one day, but this is gonna be so. But anyway, now I'll let you be, because I just wanted to mention, yes, Scout is right, and yeah, watch the movie, and oh gosh.
Well, just stay out of Malta, Idaho.
I'll.
I don't even know where Malta, Idaho is. I don't know if it's anywhere near Moscow or what.
I don't know. I just hope it isn't near. I thought of Spokane, Washington. That's clearly across the border. It's sort of like a combination city there. They're kind of growing together. It's the one liberal spot, I guess, maybe not the one, but the one that I know of. It's kind of somewhat liberal in Idaho because it's a college town. Unless, of course, they're teaching the Ayn Rand stuff there. I don't know. But... as long as it's not near there, that's about the only place I might go. But
understood.
Yeah, see you later.
Bye-bye. All right, take care, Gene. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye now. News Ninja Gene, the guy who gets up every morning and reads the entire internet. No kidding. And that makes me wonder. We had a pal who was writing from inside, you know, behind the potato curtain, and she left Idaho and moved to civilization in Seattle. And I often think about her and wonder how things are going, if she's okay. That's what we do here. You know, we worry about people. You know, if we don't hear from you in a while, Agnes does things because she's kind of spooky that way. She'll say, have you heard from? And I'll go, no. And then 2 days later, we will. And it's just, well, it's not exactly Bewitched, and I'm not exactly Darren, but you get the idea. Just, you know, these things come to mind. Hey, welcome to the program.
Skousen, a misunderstood musical genre mixing ska and house. Skousen.
Oh, very good. I don't even want to think about that.
If somebody's there who is a musician and wants to put yourself on the map, you ever put those genres together? Might be it's time now.
Skousen.
Yeah, I do have a late nominee for Moran Monday, or an early
one. Or an early one, right.
Right. Well, apparently this teenage girl was very upset at her father. And she said, her father said, I'm taking your cell phone away. And apparently the daughter, and this takes place in Seattle, by the way, and her daughter said, you know, I'm really mad at you, Dad, so I'm going to pick up this bow and arrow and shoot you in the arm parallel sideways.
Huh?
That's what happened. She picked up a bow and arrow and shot her father in the arm, and she decided that she could make a getaway, so she grabbed like 36 arrows. I don't know if she was carrying a quiver or not, but she picked up a lot of arrows and just ran into the woods because apparently she had crossed the line with that.
Oh, young lady, you're going to be grounded for a long time. Really? Bow and arrow?
Serious injury, but not life-threatening. But still, I think that's going to be... that. You're definitely going to have to go into a psychiatrist for that, a family psychiatrist for that.
Oh, one. I think there's going to be some counseling going on.
There's definite counseling.
How old was she?
I think she was 15 or 14.
Teenagers.
And the other story, you're not going to...
Thank God there wasn't a howitzer around.
No. I mean, you have to wonder about...
Well, no, but see, I'm sure the NRA would say, see, if it wouldn't have been liberals with bows and arrows instead of guns like real Americans have, he could have shot her before she could have got him with the bow and arrow. Right? I mean, isn't that that's NRA logic, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that. When Obama signed the Patriot Act 3, you know what I was thinking? He signed the auto pen, and they probably had a question, why are you signing it? And he probably said, because it has electrolytes.
it's what terrorists crave.
I mean, this right here is the setup. For anyone who is what I would consider a Democrat or an Obama loyalist, understand this. You just gave the Republicans carte blanche for doing whatever they want with the terrorist programs that they have planned for the next 20 or 30 years or however much they plan to be in office for the next reign that they come in. Whether it's 10 years, if it's 5 years, they'll somehow fit it into being 20 years of legislation. They're good at that.
Oh, yeah, because once it comes in, it never goes out.
No, it never goes out, and that's the issue. The issue is that the Democrats have completely they see the terror card as the big political capital. I mean, as a cynic might tell you, the fact that this happened should not be surprising to anyone, because politics is politics, and that's how it goes. And the fact is that this is just another example that these Democrats and Republicans really don't have our best interests. And it's time to definitely flood the streets everywhere. I don't know how you're going to do that, but it's definitely time to do it.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. But there's an element of courage involved, isn't there?
You know what? The problem is the coordination. The problem is the timing. It's everything. I was watching a documentary, which I recommend everyone see. It's on Pete Seeger. The Power of Song. And it's a really extensive documentary about Pete Seeger's life and his activism. And he talks about how he started early on in his career and tying that to songs. And then it occurred to me, Bob, there is no music workshops, or there are not that many music workshops that combine for songs and activism like there was in the folk movement. And they start talking about how the connection to music. So there needs to be, I believe, when you have this, I guess you would say, revolutionary protests all across the United States, there needs to be a musical movement tied to it. Definitely.
Yeah, well, but I guess the question is, while there needs to be one, you can't sort of make there be one. It has to be organic. It has to sort of spring from the earth. But by the same token, yeah, you've got it. But you've got to have stuff in place to nurture and grow. Right.
And but his main point in the documentary is always start local. And he talks about his crusade with the Hudson River and how he pushed back a lot of environmental pollution into that river. And it's really anyways, Bob, it's really interesting, and you should definitely put, if anyone hasn't seen it yet, it's called The Power Song. Bob Seger, I definitely sit down and watch it.
Pete Seger.
What did I say now?
Bob. You said Bob Seger.
Bob Seger, wow. That would be a totally...
On a long and twisting highway east of Omaha.
That would be a completely different...
I didn't know there were any... if there's a long and twisting highway east of Omaha, it probably, you know, dumps into a river somewhere, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of east of Omaha.
I would definitely... I would definitely suggest that.
Or maybe it was a lonesome highway. Long and lonesome highway east of Omaha. Yeah.
There's lots of, you know what? If somebody was an ambitious person, you know how they did the Dred Zeppelin? They could mix together Bob Seger and Pete Seger somehow. So you have the lyrics.
I'll tell you, the best mashup I've ever heard is Man of Constant Sorrow mashed up with Hollaback Girl. You know, Gwen Stefani.
I don't think I've actually heard that.
Oh, I ran across that one day and turned Ferg onto it, and he's still hooked. Whoever did it, it just works magnificently.
Well, speaking of music, is your family, or more correctly, the girls of your house, are they listening to the new Lady Gaga nonstop?
No, I mean, we went through... we went through a Gaga phase, but, you know, the Judas song really hasn't... I mean, you still hear... Well, I mean, Agnes plays it. You still hear a lot of Bad Romance and Alejandro and stuff, but no, Judas and... no, not really.
Hmm.
But it may. No, they're
not
caught...
Not a millionth seller in the Kincaid house, I guess.
No, it's not. It's not just a big one. You know, it gets about a 6.5. It's got a really fast beat, and you can dance to it, but...
Yeah, but...
Agnes tells me she does like Monster, however.
Well, there you go. Still fighting to have a position in music history, and...
just don't let this get back to Gaga, because I don't want her having to go into therapy or anything.
Well, I'm actually pushing to see, maybe by me putting that out in the universe... It will come to pass in fruition that more Gaga music will be played in your house.
I'll have to leave, you understand.
I understand that would be a bit disconcerting. But yeah, I was paying attention to the daily events of the week, and it's just
speaking of the little girl who did the William Tell on her father. Did you hear about the right winger who got busted in Madison, Wisconsin?
No, I didn't hear about this one.
Yeah, this is one of those cranky old teabaggers, about 69 years old. No offense to people who are 69. That doesn't mean you're necessarily cranky, but we know who we're talking about, right?
Right.
So he lived about, I don't know, 85, 45, whatever miles from Madison, and he put his pistol in his pocket, and he went to Madison because he was going to go down and execute them people, kill them sweet little babies down to the Planned Parenthood. Only problem was, he got a hotel there to the Super 8 or whatever, just a few block, couple of blocks away from Planned Parenthood, and then his gun accidentally done went off. I'm using the wrong accent completely. I understand that. But yeah, they fired two test, you know, I don't know, warning shots into the hotel room. The cops showed up and he said, "Oh, it was just completely an accident. I didn't mean to. I wasn't trying to kill the hotel room or nothing. It just kind of happened there." And then begins to spill his guts about, "You know what I was going to do? I tell you what I was going to do. I was going to go down there to the Planned Parenthood and kill them all." But that's a Jared Loughner.
He has ambition.
Right, but that's one of those Jared Loughners that you miss. He said, "I've been having some problems squaring this up with God, but I think he's okay with it now." I wish I was making this up.
That's something to seriously ponder. You know, the thing about the Planned Parenthood is there's so much propaganda now against Planned Parenthood that I don't know how you can really combat it now, because it's in the air. All you can do is just keep putting out responses and information and facts on it, but there is so much propaganda with the churches to Planned Parenthood now. There's a documentary called Mafia 21 that's it's circulating around the internet, and it goes into how Margaret Sanger is a racist and how she wants to how her plan was to
they've got that lock-jawed like a junkyard dog. Margaret Sanger was the same as Adolf Hitler. yesterday or day before that Alan West said that Barack Obama, he's the same as Adolf Hitler.
How come the Godwin's law doesn't apply to him?
I don't know. I think about that kind of stuff. I mean, there's Godwin's law and there's Godwin's law. For instance, if you're saying, the army of so-and-so pushed across so-and-so's border in an unprovoked action, very similar to the way that Hitler ordered the invasion of Poland, I don't think that's a violation of Godwin's law, David. You know what I'm saying? That's discussing history. That's like saying, Union General Philip Sheridan treated the Indians worse than he had treated Southerners.
Well, you know, that's the problem. We're not having a real discussion. The sound bites keep getting shorter and shorter.
But when Alan West comes out and says, "You know what? Barack Obama is taking the same tack with regard, he's malicious and malevolent about Israel, and I think that's the same thing Adolf Hitler did." That's Godwin's law. That's, you know, and if we had any kind of integrity in the media, David, all the media outlets would just say, "Alan West invoked caused Godwin's law to be triggered today. No further reporting will be done on this. He's an idiot."
Yeah, there's a streamer right underneath. As soon as he said, "Equating Hitler to Barack Obama, Godwin's law. This broadcast is immediately interrupted for the following messages. Godwin's law."
Yeah, Godwin's law. Godwin's law. We will now run 2 minutes of Swedish mattress commercials until Alan West is done.
You know, the thing that's really crazy about all of these Republicans running is that they don't look to you. They look through you. And if you look at these people on the actual stump doing the punditry and actually getting the messages out, if you look at them, they don't really look at the audience. They just look around and they pretend like they're involved, and you can tell immediately. It's so transparent. And then you just have to wonder. You have to wonder this. Maybe people have become so lost in the political atmosphere that they just can't.
Once upon a time when we had not a better system, but at least a moderately more civil system of politics in this country. You know, back when your John Birchers and stuff had to get high huffing mimeograph fluid and ditto fluid to run off their little flyers and so forth, and they didn't have the internet there just to spread it immediately and so forth. There was a little bit more civility, not a lot, but enough to make a tangible difference. But now, celebrity is predicated, especially in the weirdo right wing, celebrity is predicated on your ability to be completely over-the-top, clown suit insane. And so what you see with this Joe Walsh creep out in Illinois, who said, you know, I think those liberal Jews that vote for Democrats in America, they're not standing up for Israel enough, and I'm a Catholic, I should know. You got him, and you got Alan West down in Florida, who said yesterday, not kidding, well, you know, what I think needs to happen to some of these liberal anti-war people is we need to take them to Afghanistan and let them get shot at a little bit, and then maybe they'll understand why we need to be there. And so what you see coming out of all of that just blithering insanity, David, is that there is now an industry inside the right wing, inside the Republican Party, whereby you can become richer than your wildest imaginings simply by saying crazy mean stuff. We don't have that on our side.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even though I question his motives and his sincerity, Ed Schultz ran right out and apologized. And even though he apologized, he got suspended for a week by MSNBC. For something that he said on his radio show. Now, I'm not defending Ed Schultz. I'm pointing out a phenomenon here.
Yeah.
He said it on his radio show and then got suspended from his television show for something that got said on the radio show. Now, Glenn Beck has a radio show, as you're well familiar.
Yeah.
And compared to what he says on television, what he says on his radio show is something approaching... I don't know. It's like he gets up in the morning and his wife puts horse tranquilizer, you know, PCP in his coffee, and he just goes into the studio and the walls start breathing and the potted plants turn into snakes and things. He has never been suspended from Fox News, not for one blessed minute. Not once.
There is definitely a double standard, and the craziness of... the media is when you think it's done getting crazy, it gets crazier. Did you see that military commercial with the story about how the military is cross promoting X-Men with the military?
Oh no!
Did you see that?
No.
So apparently the military is jumping on board to cross promote the X-Men. With recruiting candidates for the military, and I guess in the commercial they equate that, yeah, the X-Men do have cool superpowers, but the military actually has real superpowers that are better than the X-Men. And you just have to wonder.
Well, you know, I thought that some of that was present. I mean, there was no overt cross-promotion. They just couldn't do it. The subject matter was all wrong. But I thought there was some of that evident in the movie that we talked about, you know, because the guy's in the military and he's catching the crime. And what's the name of it? Come on.
Captain America, Iron Man?
No. The Groundhog Day.
Yeah. I know which movie you're talking about. I don't have a name with it. Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a little bit of rather rampant pro-militarism in that too. But maybe I'm just crazy.
I don't know. After a while, it gets to the point where so many people, and this is another thing, this is another stigma that a lot of people are facing. A lot of writers will get scared to be critical of the military in a way that's really, really direct. So what happens is eventually is they start to bend the opposite way. And you see that with a lot of movies that are, a lot of movies that are coming out, like they won't, like a name brand like James Cameron, he can get away with that. But with somebody who's just starting and just trying to get his budget together.
Yeah. Okay. Randall just wrote in. Yeah. Source code.
Source code. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely a new level of propaganda. You know, when Alan West says something like that, we should have something instead of Godwin's law. There should be Orwell's law.
No kidding.
I mean, this is, and then it's just ridiculous what's happening with the ramp up for the election, bringing out the two toxic twins. Not Joe Perry and Steven Tyler. They aren't the toxic twins.
It's not anymore.
Yes, Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin.
Well, and speaking of which, in regard to this new tour, which I like to refer to as Idiot Goes to Washington, you know, she's horning in, sorry, bad use of this, but she's horning in on the Rolling Thunder rally, which is a bunch of Vietnam-era vets and so forth riding their Harley-Davidsons to Washington on Memorial Day to remember their comrades who did not come home, who were, you know, either missing in action or POW, and just trying to keep their memories and their names alive. Mm. And this hateful Harridan just all of a sudden to say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a bus with a big old wrapper all around it, and I'm going to go to the Rolling Thunder in my bus, because the Tide snow machine won't work on anything but snow and ice. You know, and when they move to Arizona, I guess what? The Tide's going to race snow machines? Only now they're sand machines. That's, yeah. So she's, I mean, there's no shame left. Of course, you know, she's Donald Trump with lipstick and better hair, because she ain't going to run.
Oh,
the only place she's going to run is to the bank. I mean, right?
I agree with you there. I mean, but I could see the Republicans being stupid enough to put Michelle Bachmann in a VP selection ticket or something if they wanted to make a point that.
Well, but if Michelle Bachmann wants to move, if Michelle Bachmann really wants to get onto the same level with Godzilla from Wasilla, then Michelle Bachmann needs to quit her job. You know, and say things like, I just couldn't work in Congress anymore. There were too many communists.
Maybe you just put that in the universe, and maybe that's what's next.
I don't mind whispering that into the universe's ear. But, yeah, I'm sure they're both, if they have any interest at all, they're both of them angling for a VP slot.
Yeah.
But by the same token, the religious right, you know, the evangelicals, the floor-rolling, strychnine-swigging, tongue-speaking, snake-handling fundies, they gotta get a bone thrown to them. Their darling Mike Huckabee said no thank you. And so now they're down to Bachmann and Palin. And Bachmann's the only one who's evinced any interest in running, really. Like I said, you know, Sarah Palin's only running for the bank.
Right.
But even Michelle Bachmann shot herself in the foot, because she was supposed to speak at a Lincoln Day dinner or some such in Polk County, Iowa. She was to be the keynote speaker for this room full of, you know, God-fearing, America-loving conservatives. And she George Jones'd them. She no-showed. Because she said she couldn't get out of the vote about the Patriot Act. And ultimately, she wound up appearing via grainy, choppy, awful Skype video to them. I don't know if she was actually looking at that camera or not. She might have been looking off somewhere to her right. But she's dog meat in Iowa now. Because she blew off Iowa. And you do not blow off Iowa.
Yeah, not a good idea for that. It makes you wonder if Carl Slime's next target.
This whole Republican field is snake bit, David, because Mitt Romney finally found where Iowa is on the map. I guess he strapped that poor dog to the top of the car and drove it 80 miles an hour to Iowa. And he finally found Iowa, showed up to give a speech, and they asked him a question about why it took so long for him to get to Iowa, and suddenly the fire alarm went off. And Willard Romney said, well, discretion is the better part of valor, so I guess it's time to clear the room. Fire alarm's going off. God bless Iowa. God bless me. God bless Planet Kolob. And away he went. But let's, and by the way, we do have to sort of renew that, David. Let's remember, his name is Willard.
Yeah, Willard.
I mean, it bears repeating.
So does Mitt Romney...
Willard?
Has Willard ruined his chance for a nomination now with the...
Oh, he ruined his chance for the nomination back when he put on the magic underwear. The only hope he has is if he wins enough primaries and he promises to nominate as his vice president either Mussolini or batshit crazy Bachman. Because then at least the fundies will say, well, you know what? She's a heartbeat away from the presidency, and we can pray for, we can do some intercessory imprecatory prayer so she'll be president and we'll have a real Christian in the White House. You think I'm kidding?
No, I don't think you're kidding. I think you pretty much nailed it. How we elect our leaders in this country.
It's scary, isn't it?
It's kind of concerning.
I mean, we can do some dot connecting, David. Did you ever wonder where? And I mean, I can't prove this, but did you ever wonder where? Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman learned the story of the Dorchester so that she could go out and give the stump speech about the U-2 boats. That sounds like something that's straight out of Skousen.
That does sound suspicious.
It's been Skousenized.
Now, I assume that Michelle Bachman, she voted against Patriot Act 3.
Didn't see the tally, but I don't know. Did she?
I'm actually, I'm joking because we live in, the Republicans are such hypocrites. I mean, I don't think we even need to check, Bob. I think we know the answer to that. Wait a minute. So you're for liberty, but you're just going to check. Yes, renew Patriot Act.
Well, but we have to renew the Patriot Act, David, because the Patriot Act does not apply to people who have a deep personal and abiding relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because they would never strap bombs on and go and do terrorist things.
But you know, that is a lot of extra government if you think about it.
Sure it is.
More government.
I mean, what's more? I mean, look at South Dakota with their stupid abortion law, or Kansas, or any of these other the wacky right-wing dominated states. How is all of that, all these abortion laws, how is that not more government? Well, it is more government. That's why it can't not be. I don't even know if that scans. But, less government is a brand name like Fox News and Lucky Charms. Less, they want less government the way that the rest of us normal people want less cowbell. Everybody wants more cowbell. And they want more government. It's just that they want the government in the right places. Where they can keep an eye on, DFHs like, liberals.
They want to merge the corporation and the churches fully.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they'd love to, and ultimately the corporations will realize, hey, wait a minute, this might be a pretty good dodge because those people over there are tax-free. I mean, we're almost tax-free, but they're really tax-free.
And when the Constitution has been, the original copy has been burned, they'll edit it on Wikipedia.
Sure. And look back to Idiocracy. That one dude kept repeating, brought to you by Carl's Jr., as though it were an article of faith. And it was. Why do you keep saying that? Because they pay me every time I say it. Well, look what happens if you're a right-wing politician and you go out and spend all your time talking about Jeebus. You get paid! You get paid, David. You get paid.
I think with all the evidence that we have just... laid out here this evening so far, once again, it will be an inane action. We're definitely going to have to find somehow to flood all the streets nationwide. I don't know how, I don't know when, but it eventually has to happen somehow.
And
I don't know. See, here's the thing. I don't know if it'll be a success. Probably still, what Pete Seeger said in the movie. He said at the end, he said, I believe we have a 50-50 chance of surviving on this planet in the next 100 years, so we better get busy.
That's scary.
But you know what?
But it's scary because it's not scary because it's some sort of doomsaying. It's scary because it's candid and it's real.
And the other thing, one other thing before I let you go, is that they had a quote from Bruce Springsteen, which I think is really, really, really one to hold on to. He was talking about censorship and totalitarian governments and censorship of blacklisting and all of that, and he said, you know, he goes, I always try to tell people, he goes, it's always closer than you think.
Yeah.
And he said, and that is, and that's the key to remember, people, that it's always closer than you think, and that's why you can't let any slack go on any of this. We've seen the consequences so far. And believe me, the Democrats, they will have serious repercussions for playing the terror card as much as they have this season.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Jim just added in something I had left out of the mix. Hey, don't forget about Rick Frothy Mixture Santorum.
Oh.
Because he he's got baggage because, you know, he's a Catholic. And the Baptists, you know, the Baptists and the all the right-wing evangelicals, they don't outright hate the Catholics, at least not as, well, they think that they, you know, at least worship Jesus when they're not busy worshiping Mary. So that means they're at least a step above the outright heathen heretics of the Mormon cult. And that's what, you know, they talk about. They talk about the Mormon cult. That's why Mitt Romney doesn't have a prayer.
Mm.
And Santorum would have problems, too, by virtue of being a Catholic. Because we're talking about ideological purity here in the right wing, David. There's no getting around it. This is not 1960 when John Kennedy can go to the hollers of Logan County, West Virginia, and say, no, listen up, I'm not going to take my orders from the Pope. I'm standing here telling you that. And have people believe him. This is not that. The right-wingers we're talking about now, these fundies and so forth, the Mormon Church is a cult, worships a false god, you know, just like the Muslims worship a false god.
Right.
Okay, so Romney's done, and Catholics are suspect. So, you know, that still gives the inside track to Michelle Bachmann, if there's a vice presidential nod to be given, because I think they're just, you know, they're nice vanilla fundies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand completely. And one last thing, I think if these Republicans don't have if they don't get the nomination like they planned and their political ambitions seem to falter, they should definitely consider what we talked about. And there is room to be a Skousen DJ. I think there is definite room for a Skousen movement in this country.
Well, see, David in Tennessee took a little bit of issue with that. He said, Ska House, I don't think so. He said, upstrokes on an electronic instrument are ever so difficult to accomplish.
You know what? It's amazing what you can do with FL Studio. That's all I have to say.
Oh, well, that's true. If you're not actually playing them, you're just sort of MIDI-ing them up.
Well, you can pump out the tunes that way and flood the market like they did with disco. But that's a whole different story.
No, it certainly is. Have a great weekend, David. Good talking to you.
Later, Bob.
All right, bye now. Pop culture correspondent David calling from Maine. And, you know, I emailed that link. Like I said, you can just go to slate.com and look for Children of Chernobyl. I sent it to Jim, and Jim was just horrified. He said, oh, my God, this photographic essay is as hard to view as anything from the Holocaust of the Third Reich. And it is. And it is. Go see this. You're going to have to. It's not. You're not going to be okay after you watch it. But if you ever wondered if, oh, well, you know, maybe we do nuke better than the Japanese or the Russians did. Watch this. And then get in the streets. Wherever you are, if they say, you know, we'd like to build another nuclear plant, you go, no. Because I don't want to watch this happen here. Because we're waiting for these pictures to come out of Japan now. The pictures are just developing, as it were. You know, the things that have been done there. What's the name of that disease that's born of persistent, massive exposure to mercury? Very, very famous photos, black and whites, out of Japan from like the late 50s, early 60s maybe. And we're going to get a whole slew of them out of this nightmare. And one of these days, we'll get them with American faces on them. But Jim was so moved by it, he sent the link off to Imus. He said, at the Imus Ranch, I felt the attach. Knowing your concerns with and good works for young people dealing with cancer at the Imus Ranch, I felt the attached might be of interest to you. The contents of the below referenced item speak volumes defining the aftermath of Chernobyl and the possibilities of same upon the Japanese mainland and the ecology of impacted areas. And signed off. The photo in Japan that I was thinking about, David just sent me a link. It is a Japanese mother. And I think this is an appropriate time to study, to go back to this. It is a Japanese mother bathing her child who has been horribly deformed by mercury exposure. And it, when you look at that and you realize we're going to see this over and over and over again, and the next time you hear something, you know what, we need to have, the way we get off foreign oils, we have more nuclear. Just think of those children. And ask whether or not you're willing to subject some random tens, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of American children to that. Just ask yourself, and I think insofar as we are progressive, we are liberal, we are decent human beings, and we have fully functioning ethical and moral centers, I think the answer to the question will become starkly obvious. And that answer is no, no more. No more. Because we're reaching a place where the earth itself begins to weep and cannot take it anymore. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Brother Bob.
Hey, Cossack, what's up?
Not much. How's your life progressing?
I'm just trying to get this crud out of the top of my head. Yeah, I think you can hear my throat's beginning to go south. So I got a couple of days of being quiet and maybe give it a little hope.
I know how it is. You have my sympathies. It's never good to get the creeping crud.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was allergies or something, but no. When it started going around the rest of the house like the house was on fire, no, then you realize it's a bug.
Yeah.
You feel like what's his name from. You feel like Tommy Lee Jones from Men in Black. Zed, we've got a bug.
Exactly. Oh, God. you know, I was but a callow youth when Sputnik went up, and I thoroughly remember the shitstorm that developed because this proved that our educational system was inferior to the Russians. So that's when we started the great push in school for science, to get everybody caught up on science. Not so much anymore. We don't believe in science anymore.
Can you imagine what would have happened to the American space race if the Texas School Science Advisory Committee had had a hand in that? You know, there's no need to build rockets or put men on the moon. By God, we'll have men on the moon when Jesus raptures them there.
I mean, how have we allowed this to happen as a nation, as a society? Do you wonder about this at all?
Well, don't we know, Cossack? I mean, can we not read the history of the Dark Ages? I mean, has humanity not lived through a period where we determined the position to take on the great issues of the day by reading the entrails of a sheep?
I don't think most of us have gotten much beyond that, unfortunately. I mean, with the exception of most of the Horn family and those of like mind, I despair. I mean, you would imagine that somewhere there would be progress in a more cerebral direction.
Well, you know, you talk about the fact that the Soviet people had focused on science because coming out of the ashes of the Second World War, it's what they had. It's all they had. The damn well didn't hardly had food. They barely had clothing, barely had shelter. Their population had been reduced, and then, you know, Stalin went on and did more by millions. And so that creates, I think, an atmosphere for the development of the life of the mind. You know, they'd always loved their tea and their chess.
Yeah.
But that same mindset that fostered that took them further. You know, look at the Harlem Renaissance of the Depression. Look at the artistic blossomings that happened in this country during the Depression, because the government got behind art because the FDR administration understood that expression bettered society. In some ways, it provided an outlet for a great deal of frustration, but in other ways, it provided also an outlet for inspiration and hope. You know, there's a reason. There's a reason that goofball in Maine, what's his name, wanted LePage, I don't know what, wanted that mural removed from the Division of Labor. If he could have just outright removed the Division of Labor itself, he would have done that. Because he doesn't want people getting all uppity thinking that work has as much value as capital.
Of course.
And I don't mean to start sounding like some sort of textbook on Karl Marx, but, you know, it was Abraham Lincoln himself who said that of the two, capital and labor, labor was by far the more valuable. Now, am I to understand that well, you know, hey, look, you know, let's go to the Glenn Beck show. Oh, my God, Abraham Lincoln had a beard. Karl Marx had a beard. Abraham Lincoln is a communist.
That's not true. I right, you know, unfortunately. I mean, you can create these improbable connections to prove just about anything, especially if you're not bound by fact.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, and that's why, I don't know, maybe people get tired of hearing me say it. That's why I keep pushing this magnificent opportunity to sit in on master's degree level history teaching for free. For free, Cossack. For free.
I'm astounded sometimes by the lack of historical literacy. Actually, in many cases, I wonder if it's lack of literacy, period.
Well, you know, David in Tennessee wrote in on this conversation as well, Cossack, and he said, Fundy's taking over? It came via our failure to participate. Participate at every level and in every way. We must get beyond the... They are so foolish. We need to fight something so obviously stupid. Yes, we do. Yeah. You know, it's the old. I mean, it's the explanation about how Flush Flembaugh got his ascendancy. He rose to fame and power because there was no one on the airwaves opposing him. Yeah. You know, if you fight on an empty battlefield, you know, go read your Sun Tzu. If you choose the ground and there's nobody there, you keep the ground.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, even though they wouldn't support it, you know, nobody would support liberal radio except for, you know, little niche markets and so forth. Back, for instance, when Malloy was at WSB in Chicago,
yeah.
He absolutely owned the ratings book there. He absolutely killed, not just in his time slots, but others. But it wasn't what the corporate powers that be wanted. You know, even in my own little humble experience, a trip, the only thing, from the minute that I started at that radio station in Beckley to the minute I left, the only thing different in that whole thing was me. And I tripled the ratings. But it didn't matter. Didn't matter. The right winger who reads the newspaper every morning to his oatmeal dribbling faithful is never leaving. He'll be there till the day he dies. Because the masses of the world and the advertisers on that pathetic little AM station want him there. I was dangerous. And it wasn't because I'm me. Anything liberal was dangerous because shortly after they shuffled me out the door, they hustled Dr. Bill out the door, too. And you've heard Dr. Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine a more accommodating, kind, just hell-bent on finding common ground person?
Yeah.
No, that wasn't even tolerable. And that's a microcosmic picture, Cossack, of the entire media landscape and how it got from there to here. And that media landscape is a direct reflection of the social landscape. You know, my God, what year was it? 1968, when that one right-wing freak invented direct mail?
Yeah.
And the world's never been, the American political landscape hasn't been the same since. How long did it take Democrats to before they, you know, direct mail? Oh, I don't know, Muffy. That seems awfully gauche.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but look, it works. Well, we're only a generation behind on this. You know, my goodness gracious, Muffy, these people want to teach creationism in school. Oh, they'll never get away with that. That's just silly. Now, wait a minute. Don't we have a rally to go to next week to save the Venezuelan Vestal Virgins? See how it works? But, I mean, yeah, that's unfair because you already saw how it works. You know. But don't despair, Cossack, because, you know, there's a way out. It's called Goya. You know, just like the canned goods brand, G-O-Y-A. Only it spells get off your ass.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're simply standing all by yourself in silent memorial of the war, or whether you're a part of a mass of 10,000 people moving down a street, the trick is that you goyed. You got off your ass. Because there is that old saying out there, you know, free your head, your ass will follow. And it's part of this process too, because before you can Goya, you gotta free that head. You gotta stop thinking in terms of the inabilities and start thinking about what we can accomplish. You know, bless his heart. I guess we had some differences of opinion over a few things, but you remember our buddy Phil that used to call in from Central Florida Veterans for Peace. You know, there was Phil every week, rain or shine, protesting the war. And he never quit. And he hasn't quit to this day. I still get his emails. And I guess some people out there would say, well, you know, I mean, obviously the wars aren't over or anything. But sometimes, Cossack, we are charged with not being necessarily results-oriented, but simply to do that which is moral and that which is just and that which is right.
Right.
You know, if I was waiting for mountaintop removal to end tomorrow, I'd be out of the movement. But Judy Bonds is dead now. But long ago, before she ever even knew she was sick, she looked at me and she said, Bob, we may not live to see the end of this, but we are charged on levels that the other side can never understand morally, ethically. We are beyond charged. We're compelled to do this because it is what is moral and ethical and right and just and good for people who do not have a voice in this, and we must speak for them, and we must be willing to continue in the struggle until we die. And she did, and I ain't got no choice. Just like Phil doesn't have any choice. Just like Jude will keep on standing. Because it's what has to be done. And you know what? Some of that involves going to school board meetings and county commission meetings and things that don't look really exciting. And sometimes it involves being really polite and putting on a suit and a tie and making your case that way. Sometimes it means playing within the system. Sometimes it means playing outside of it. There are people who are willing to get arrested in civil disobedience. There are people who are not willing to get arrested in civil disobedience. But all of them are working together in the same direction. And we just need more people to do it. Maybe that's part of the bumper sticker Reverbo's been talking about. Maybe it's expressed by saying, well chumped? Question mark. Goya. Well chumped, get off your ass. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to climb up on my soapbox, but, you know, you kind of made me.
No, it's fine. We like to hear you on your soapbox.
Well, you know me, I prefer sane and civil conversation, but sometimes, well, that or, you know, that or it's the cold medicine. For all I know, I just recited Jabberwocky. If I get up in the morning and I'm getting emails from people saying, Bob, why were you talking about Brussels sprouts on the moon? We'll know. Oh, look, NyQuil really works.
Oh, by the way, Minamoto.
Yes?
Minamoto is a name.
Yes.
That was...
And once again, it was a case of a corporation doing it to an unsuspecting public, and, you know, too bad he didn't smile.
Yeah.
Minamoto's disease.
And it was horrendous. It really is. It was almost as bad as the thalidomide.
Yeah. That's another word I was trying to remember the other day. Thalidomide.
Yeah. Oh, I was around. It was pretty bad.
Yeah. I don't think my mom took it. Thank God.
And that's why you have an FDA, children.
There. See? Oh, look, big bright dots, big bright line between the big bright dots. But that's okay, because these right-wing freaks want to put the FDA, because they're getting in the way of America's ability to do business.
People are
and, you know, if thalidomide makes women have flipper babies, well, then they'll voluntarily take the thalidomide off the market. Because they don't want to do that, nobody know how on in purpose. Bull. Long as the shareholders are happy, them flipper babies don't much matter now, do they, Cossack?
Oh, no. Not at all.
And the only way you could make the shareholders unhappy is by suing the pants off of the corporation, but the right wing doesn't want people to have the power to do that either.
Oh, no. Well, that's one of those things that I was always quite upset about. That people who have never been to the process, have never seen how the process works, they say, okay, go, you know, if something happens, sue the people responsible. Right. You're going to sue a mega corporation when they can bring down more firepower on your poor little puny butt than you could possibly assemble.
Yeah. You know? Exactly.
And what that means in the process, you know, you get ground up, you get spit out, that's it.
And good luck, and go buy some more crap. You know, it's what Sandra was talking about too, Cossack. Might constitute a slight barrier to trade.
Exactly.
I mean, okay, look, it's time. Oh, 28 minutes past 8 o'clock. It's time for the obligatory Star Trek reference of the night, Cossack. Where am I going? These teabaggers and these right-wingers, what they want to make, yeah, this world where business operates with impunity and can do as it pleases. Ultimately, we're talking about reducing the United States of America to nothing more than a bunch of scrabbling, grabbling, grasping Ferengi.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's just think of that.
I hate it when we don't have a Star Trek reference. Hey, Cossack, I got a roll, brother, but you have a great weekend, okay?
You too, Bob. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Get better.
Well, yeah, I'm going to try. I'm going to put my head in a bucket.
Okay.
See ya. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
I don't know, I kind of like this deep bass voice I get. No, I'm kidding. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Luke.
I would have called Wednesday, but you was off the air, so...
Well, I had my head in a bucket.
I know. That's okay. Well, let's see. I would have called this earlier this week, but I tell you what, I wanted to pay kudos to Lord John Worthen from last week.
Oh, yeah?
Or as he's commonly called, John Lithgow.
No. Oh. Wasn't that a brilliant thing?
Oh, absolutely. And the thing of it is, I mean, if you want to play it, you can. But if you want to see it, you really need to go look at it because his facial expressions are half the
yeah, reading Newt's drug-induced press release. Yeah. That's another one of those horse tranquilizer moments, Luke.
Oh, it's one of them ones you just sit there and just kind of look at it. And I had another thing to get backed up, watching it again and again. It's like, yes, yes.
Well, you know, they only had Lithgow because Gielgud's dead.
That is true. True is true. And probably James Earl Jones wouldn't have come that short of notice. You know. But you were talking earlier about Big Ed. And Ed came right forward and apologized. And when somebody wants to jump on him, they just, well, the right wing is going to turn, it's going to try and say, where can I go look at those apologies you all gave to some fellow named Michael Schiavo? I'd really like to watch some of those.
Yeah, no kidding.
Everybody on your channel called him a murderer. You know, it's like,
that's
right. What were those apologies?
Yeah, sorry. No, none of those. But again, as it was expressed on the show last night, I think it was Joe Ray who said it, you know, they don't apologize because they feel no need to apologize because we are not their equals. They are our moral, intellectual, and you know, the right, okay, another movie reference. The right wing is comprised entirely of the Wallace Shawn character from Princess Bride. You know, I am so much smarter than you.
Oh, yes, I can't poison look at you every time.
Yeah. That's the sad thing. We don't have any.
Or we could get some rats of unusual size, but, you know.
Clearly, you do not understand that you are dealing with a person of superior intellect.
It's true. Okay, let's go on to something else, because we'll stay here forever. I think the one this week that absolutely just has to be standing on top of a stool with a pistol in his hand, waving the air, has to be Tim Pawlenty. Going, somebody pay attention to me.
Notice me. I'm here.
because now everybody's just paying attention right now, as you say, to Bachman and Caribou Barbie. And I say, Pawlenty is just standing over there with a megaphone going, help, somebody notice me.
Yeah, he's just trying to hang out long enough to, you know, because when you're dealing with Godzilla from Wasilla, all you can do is wait for the storm to pass. You cannot scream at the lightning, or curse the thunder.
Ground you out.
Yeah, because eventually, you know. But she's not going to run. This is like everything else. This is a hustle. This is a dodge.
I think the reason more than anything else that she's doing it is because she doesn't want Bachman to get any traction. Because she sees.
I think those two.
Her playground.
I think those two really hate each other.
I do too. I'm
because especially because I heard batshit crazy today. I said, you know, no, we're very good friends. I like her a lot. Which, you know, kiss of death.
Which is like somebody down here in football saying, I have full and complete confidence in you.
Yeah, because you're fired next week.
Yeah, what's that pain in my back? It's a shiv going in.
Here, son, here's an apple and a road map. Have a lovely day.
And when you get home, don't worry, we've already called the moving vans. But, just watching this, and in a way, like I say, we just sit back and have the popcorn and watch it, just watching this and go, yeah, go ahead, eat up the oxygen in the room. Because like I say, the two of them are doing that, Mitt sitting over there going, well, at least I ain't going for the same people they are, so I don't really care. So I ain't going to give them people any which way. So, like I say, the one that really hurt on this is Pawlenty, because he's sitting there going, you know, when these two get out, I'm the only choice that the fundamentalists have left. Because, like I say, we're waiting on Newt. Has Newt changed religions recently again?
Well,
he's still a Catholic?
Well, he did that for Callista.
I know.
I think she's still wide-eyed in shock. Oh, wait, maybe that's the Botox.
Could be that too.
God knows if I think if she raises her eyebrows, her pantyhose come up. I mean,
well, she looks like every time you look at her, she looks like she's watching a horror movie.
Yeah, David, your comrade David in Tennessee reminding me. Yes, Bob, Sarah will run. She will run to the bank. He says that's a Lawrence O'Donnell quote.
Well, she'll run right up to the edge and then take a 90-degree turn.
Well, she's moving to Arizona, and she's got to get back where she can monitor Bristol, because Bristol's got the reality show gig where she lives with a black dude, and that's just got to be going over real good.
I know. When I first heard that, I just kind of just went. I went to the door and listened. I said, I should be able to hear the scream. You know.
If you stand outside and just listen real close. Con! Oh, two Star Trek references.
Good one, good one. But what was the other one? Something else I was going to ask you about. Probably lost it, but that's his life. Oh, let's see. Well, I say we're about to start the summer movie avalanche.
Yeah, a whole bunch of stuff I will not be going to see.
I'm sorry, bud.
Well, no, I mean, it's just, $4 a gallon gas to go 70 miles round trip in a truck that gets 10 to the gallon. Yeah, that ain't happening.
And that's going downhill, yeah.
With a tailwind, right.
Both ways, we hope.
In neutral with your foot off the gas.
Oh, I tell you what, this is just so much fun around here. Let's see, well, we're getting a couple of new businesses coming to Tampa. Well, old businesses, new divisions of them, I should say. You know, we've had Sam's around here for a while, so now we're getting a Costco.
Are you really? Really? Civilization's coming to East Tennessee?
Yeah.
I measure one's proximity to a Costco as a measure of civilization. Well, that's how shallow I am.
They're still in negotiation, but it's supposed to be coming. And the other one was that apparently...
See, I used to really want a Costco here in West Virginia, but now at this point, I'd settle for a Crystal and a Popeye's fried chicken.
True enough. Even a kiosk.
Right. You stay here long enough, you know, your expectations get really, really much more realistic.
Well, the other one we're getting in here that supposedly, if they work out all the paperwork, is I think it's between us, and maybe us and Nashville both are going to get an Amazon distributorship, so to speak.
Yeah, but golly, then you won't be able to order from Amazon anymore. Well, no, because they'll shut down the one in Illinois and they'll move it to Tennessee because the tax situation's better, right?
Yeah. Oh, I saw the thing that we talked about. I think you talked about it earlier. I saw that the other hope of the fundies is that been dashed. And apparently, the Governor Rick Goodhair Perry sent out his media flag to say no.
Oh, really? Because I was hearing before I came on the air, I was hearing maybe.
Oh, okay. I saw something today where I think it was over at Huffington Post where they said that the press black had come out there and squelched that rumor. But who knows? You know what I mean? It could be real. It could not. You know, man, have one on one side of the building say we're gearing up, the other one say no, it's not true. You know, down in Texas, they can do that.
Oh, very true. Very true.
So, but you said you're going to be, I was listening last night, I said that you're going to be gone for a big chunk of the month.
Well, I'm going to try to broadcast some from Netroots Nation, but I don't know if that's going to pan out. That's June the 13th through the 20th, because we're driving out and driving back, and it's 1,000 miles there and back.
Where is this here?
Minneapolis.
Okay.
And then, of course, then the week before that, there's a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to D.C. for a press conference calling on the EPA to stand firm and stand tall. Among other things, we're coming back here, and there's a big screening of Bobby Kennedy's movie, The Last Mountain, down in Charleston. So that's going to eat up that week. Then there's a couple of weeks of almost normal, and then we do the big history seminar with Dr. Bill, which will run from the 28th of June. Well, I'll be down there doing setup and load-in on the 28th. And then that'll run from the 29th, more or less, to the 15th of July. So going to be a lot of absences in there. And John's so busy on tour, I kind of doubt he's going to be able to fill in much. We haven't really had a chance to talk. But, yeah, so I'm going to be gone gone a good bit. And, man, am I scared.
Well, I say just...
Absence as far as the time slot and Horn folks are concerned, my absence makes the hearts go wander.
Well, you know how it is. It's one of those things. We'll go out and look around and see there's nothing there and come back. So I just
right about the 16th of July.
All righty, but I'm gonna let you get on, bud. I know you got other people to talk to. You got about 20 minutes. So
all right.
Have a good
Thanks, evening. Luke. You have a great weekend.
Week.
Bye now.
You too. Bye.
It's our buddy Luke and. Now, I'm being a little bit of a smart aleck, but it does worry me. I mean, you know, I was gone 2 days, fundraising went, and we'd had a really great night Monday, too, by the way. That was the strange thing. So now we started out the evening needing 16 members of the Thrifty 250. Now we need 13 members of the Thrifty 250 with about 21 minutes to go in the program. And this in from David in Tennessee. Let me clarify this. No, it's not that Bristol Palin is doing a TV show with a black guy. She is doing a reality TV show where she lives with said black guy. I don't, you know, all I can figure is that Mussolini said,
"How much are you getting paid?" Well, that, you know, it'll take twice that money to do that kind of thing. We have scruples here.
But yes, yes. So now, now imagine, David, now imagine the conniption that Mama Grizzly had.
Yeah, right.
Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey there.
Hey, Jim, what's up?
You are a sketch tonight, my friend.
Well, thank you.
You know,
I'm happy to be among the upright.
Yes, definitely. Pursuant to your mentioning of Thalidomide, I can remember when I was in like 10th grade lit class in high school, and we were studying Hemingway, and the teacher asked me who wrote Farewell to Arms, and of course Francis Kelsey had written that study on Thalidomide. And instead of answering Hemingway, I said Francis Kelsey.
Oh, that must have played well.
I got bounced to the principal's office.
I can't say that that was a bad call. That's pretty cold, Jim.
Well.
But no, it's true.
It is. I mean, I read it as a sophomore in high school.
Wait. Okay, I think you have just given complete, total, and absolute validation to Cossack's call. I mean, can anybody imagine reading a report like that in 10th grade America, in America now?
I also read Rachel Carson's Silent Spring. You know?
Yeah, all you have to do is say Rachel Carson around a right-winger, and they come completely unglued. Communist! I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen it, Jim, but there's actually a right-wing talking point that says that Rachel Carson is personally responsible for the deaths of millions of people in the developing world.
How so? Because this woman absolutely defined the effects upon these chemicals and things of that nature?
Well, because she raised a ruckus about DDT, DDT was taken off the market, so the argument goes that malaria blossomed in sub-Saharan Africa and South America, for instance, causing millions of people to die, and it's all Rachel Carson's fault. I mean, I've heard the argument made. And you just sit there, and I don't know. You're left sort of dumbstruck. Because you say, well, you know, what's your alternative then? Leave it in the groundwater, leave it in the environment, and just let everything go to hell?
Well, you know, going further,
because DDT is not the only means of controlling a mosquito population, is it, Jim?
No, it's not. And as far as medicines are concerned, you know, I talked to you about Jessica Mitford's book called Cruel and Unusual Punishment and how prisoners are and were used
for medical experimentation.
Uh-huh.
On the same order, and let's, you know, again, this is not one of those places where Godwin's law comes into play per David's conversation. Prisoners were experimented upon in ways that would have made Mengele blush.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they, drugs like Prolixin, they were enrolled in these experimentation things by drug companies, and they were given like chewing gum, cigarettes, and extra elements of the prison economy to use Prolixin. And of course, Prolixin is a very highly destructive neurological component. I mean, it absolutely will create, for example, deterioration of the femoral nerve sheath. And I don't even think cobra venom can prevent the pain that that particular experiment was created see the outcomes of, really. I mean, it's just incredible. As you say, Dr. Begelov would have been very proud of these things.
Yeah, the only thing lacking were the lampshades, right?
I guess so. I guess so.
Horrifying to say, but true.
Well, like I say.
But, you know, but by the same token, Jim, I guess maybe we have put a stop to some of that, but we certainly have not cured the ills that attend the way we look at our prison populations. That Supreme Court case. And remember who's on the Supreme Court right now. That Supreme Court case that dealt with California and overcrowding issues. You know, the Supreme Court recently held that California's prison system constitutes, on its face, cruel and unusual punishment. And, you know, you've got people who need, for instance, mental health services, and they're put in ISO cages that are tiny. They're tiny. I mean, they're reminiscent of the so-called tiger cages of the Vietnam era that were pioneered by Brown and Root, who at the time was known as Burn and Loot. And they stay there because services are so scarce in that system. People can stay in those little tiny cages, desperately in need of mental health services, in excess of a year. Now, in that year, what's happening to their otherwise deteriorating mental health?
Well, at one time, the prison system was geared toward some type of reformation and trying to make these people productive members of society. Now, it's just pure the whole element of thrust is toward punitive.
Yeah, it's punitive, it's retributive, and let's not forget the rise of the prison industrial complex. It is capitalized, commercialized, and profitized.
Oh yeah.
And thus we get to a place where we find ourselves warehousing human beings because it's good for business. Thus, it does not, as Sandra noted, does not create a slight barrier to trade.
Yeah, these prisons are what, contracted out now?
Oh, in many instances, yes.
Well, there it is. There you have it. And of course,
I mean, it's so bad, Jim. It is so bad that just yesterday, I think, or maybe the day before, the superintendent of schools in Michigan, okay? The superintendent of schools in Michigan, a guy named Nathan Boots, was so horrified by the cuts of $470 per student that were taken from school districts in Michigan because of their governor, Rick Snyder, the guy who wanted to impose basically financial martial law on individual Michigan towns. The superintendent of the Ithaca Public Schools, Nathan Boots, wrote a letter to the editor of his local paper in which he suggested that all the public schools be transformed into prisons in Michigan so that they could at least get the kind of money that Michigan prisons get. Because Michigan barely, what he says, Michigan spends between $30,000 and $40,000 on each prisoner, but can barely muster $7,000 per public school student. He says, that's why I'm proposing to make my school a prison. The state of Michigan spends annually somewhere between $30,000 and $40,000. But we're struggling to provide schools with $7,000 per student. I guess we need to treat our students like they're prisoners with equal funding. Please give my students 3 meals a day. Please give my children access to free health care. Please provide my school district internet access and computers. Please put books in my library. Please give my students a weight room so we can be big and strong. We provide all of these things to prisoners because they have constitutional rights. What about the rights of the youth? What about the rights of their future?
can't even respond to that.
Well, I mean, it was written as satire. You know, sort of a 21st century take on Jonathan Swift.
Right, exactly.
And see, if we ever get to the point, and this is important, I think, if we ever get to the point where the right-wingers get their way and the entire public education system is done away with, and everybody has a little voucher that they can use to send little Timmy and little Cindy and little Johnny and little Susie over to the Church of Saint Ignatius of Perpetual Motion. Well, then we'll talk about funding the public schools, because there won't be any.
Well, I guess what they're producing is what Philip Wiley called in his book of the same period, a generation of vipers.
Yeah, and what Hunter Thompson called a generation of swine.
That's it, buddy.
All right, Jim, you have a good night and a great weekend, and a happy Memorial Day to you.
Well, a meaningful Memorial Day.
There, exactly.
Because Memorial Day, to me, not only encompasses people who have served our country in uniform, but it also means to me so many people who have died in other causes, and as a result of total idiocy, mismanagement, and those people who have ulterior motives. And they have hurt a lot of individuals.
Indeed, Jim. You know, I guess, tell me if I'm wrong, you'll know. In the UK and in Canada, it's, and I think probably Australia as well, it's Remembrance Day, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I think it would be better were we using that word as well. It's not just the kickoff of summer. It's not when the public school, it's not when the public swimming pool, if there still is one, is opened. It is a time for sober reflection upon the cost that has been paid for the society in which we presently live. Is that a fair expression?
Exactly. Those people who simply were and are nameless numbers on lists that have been carelessly mislaid.
Hear, hear, Jim.
Have
a good weekend. It's our good friend Jim. Joe Ray sends an email saying, real fast here, I think the main point proved in Silent Spring by Rachel Carson is being missed almost completely. What she discovered is that insects and pests will persist and even become worse if pesticides are used. Everyone focuses on the bad effects of pesticides persisting in the environment and completely miss the fact that chemical pesticides do not work. And the same thing with genetic modifications. Remember the potato that has a goat's stomach gene spliced into it for the Frankenspud? Because when a potato bug bites it, the goat gene kills the bug, right? Well, what happens when the bug evolves? Oh, I guess we're going to need a bigger goat. Right? Yeah. And, you know, history teaches these lessons in other ways. If you do like, for instance, Godzilla from Wasilla likes to do, and you shoot wolves or coyotes from helicopters, study after study after study has verified that the more pressure you put on a coyote population, the more pups in the litter. Obvious, one might think. And just a little story, just to give you a sense of what life is like in West Virginia. I've been mentioning that, yes, we need contributions to the Thrifty 250. We need 13 of them. By the time we get to Monday, the number will be significantly higher. Because we have to keep going. Ultimately, we need 250 over the course of a month. 250 $10 contributions. The license plate sticker on the Horn's rusty red pickup truck, you know, what we use for going up mountains and driving down to things, you know, driving down to broadcast events and the things that, you know, business. In order to do that, you got to pay your property taxes. So today, I paid our property taxes. I'm not crying. I believe in taxes, okay? So I'm not sweating it. But you pay, you know, you get a 2-year sticker and you pay 2 years taxes. And then the sticker itself is $62. So let's see. Today I paid $374 all told in property taxes on a rusty red pickup truck with 130,000 miles on it that was manufactured in 1995. I paid more today in property taxes for that truck than an owner of coal reserves in the ground pays for an acre of coal. Maybe 2 acres of coal. Maybe 5 acres of coal. That gives you a sense of who carries what burdens in this state and so many others. I went and paid our fair share today. But in excess of 80% of the land in this state is owned by out-of-state corporations. I will pay in a little bit, because they're past due, I will pay more real property taxes on this ramshackle, falling-down house with a leaky roof that I can't do a damn thing about. I'll pay more on this acre than a coal baron will pay for 1,000 acres of coal reserves. And that is reality not just in West Virginia but in America. That's what it means when corporations don't have to pay their freight on our road. The road that is our civic existence. And that was a big bite, too. So, yeah, we need to do a little contribution fundraising. $10 at a time is fine, as long as there's enough of us. Thanks to everybody for being patient with me this week. I'm still not back completely to speed, but I'm better than I was. And I will be here Monday evening, barring any unforeseen occurrences. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this work, from Lottie, our moderator in the chat room, to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, to our blogger, Texas Betsy, who is still on the mend and walking unassisted. Yes! Thanks to our op-ed correspondent, Reverbo, Cavalcade of Crazy, HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Thanks to John Fox and Ben Birch. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. It's through what he does that the stream is able to get out, and he'll never send a bill, but he needs help, too. He needs help as well, because he serves out a lot of liberal radio and doesn't get near the help he needs. And John Fox, of course, well, none of this stuff, this audio stuff, would work if it wasn't for John Fox. So that's it. Catch you Monday, okay? Thanks always go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you. Rick Smith is next.